We have roll call.
Mr. Bums?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. Holly?
Here.
Mr. Neff? Absent. Mr. Goldrich?
I'm here.
Oh, you're last. Yep. Mr. Cacamoni? Cacamone?
Cacamone, that's good.
Sorry. Mr. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Kupinski?
Here.
Ms. McJewski?
Here.
Dr. Zuzuak?
Here.
Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Mr. Bird? Absent. Ms. Walter?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, yep.
Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. At this time, we'll stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we will open up for public comment for any item that is not on tonight's agenda. Have we anybody on Zoom with a hand raised?
No.
Okay. Seeing none, moving on to pending litigation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to report that there is none.
Excellent. On to other business. So at this time, we will have our discussion, the board's feedback of revising and updating the fee schedule.
Mr. Chairman, at the last meeting, the board asked that Doug and I take a look at some other municipalities to see where they're at in terms of fee and escrow costs or charges. So we took a look at that, and I looked at close communities, Middletown, Hazlitt, Colts Neck, and Red Bank, and attached to the memorandum is our bunch of pages, about a dozen or so pages, of the actual breakdown in all of the categories of the fee ordinance. And then in the memo, I just picked out a couple of them which are characteristic of the rest of the list in terms of how we compare with adjacent communities. So, for instance, concept review in Atlantic Highlands requires, and if you look at these, we have two numbers in each column. The first is the application fee, then there's a slash, and then there's the escrow fee. So for concept review, we look for 250 as an application, 300 as an escrow fee. Middletown only charges 100 for the application, but they charge 2,000 escrow for the escrow for review. Hazlitt charges 500 for the application, 500 for the escrow. Colts Neck is 200 for the application, 500 for the escrow. Red Bank is 100 for the application, 500 for the escrow. That kind of is consistent throughout this whole process, that we're usually a little bit low on the application fee and we're way low on the escrows. So if you look at a minor subdivision, we're at 400 application, 300 escrow. Middletown is 700 application, $2,500 plus $25 a lot for the escrow. Hazlitt's $350, which is comparable to us for the application, but they're $2,000, about five times what we charge for the escrow. Colts Neck is a 500 application plus 175 per lot, and they're $750 per lot on the review. Red Bank, 550 application, 3,000 for the escrow review. If you're looking at a major subdivision preliminary, I'm not going to go through all these numbers, but at the bottom I have a five lot, assuming a potential theoretical five lot subdivision in Atlantic Highlands, it would be a $1,000 application fee, $1,000 escrow fee. In Middletown, it would be $2,250 escrow, $2,250 in application, $3,750 in escrow. So they're over two to three times what we're here. In Hazlet, $900 for the application, $2,000, double what we get charged here for the escrow. And Red Bank is $1,250 for the application, $3,500 for the escrow. I'm sorry, that was Red Bank. That was close enough. Red Bank is, let's see, it's $350 plus $300 per lot for the application fee, and $3,000, for the escrow. For five lots, it would be $4,000 escrow. So, and then just going to page two, looking at site plan as opposed to subdivision. For site plan, I assumed a 15,000 square foot building. For site plan, Atlantic Highlands would charge a $250 application fee, $1,500 escrow. Middletown is at $4,500 for application, $5,250 for escrow. Hazlet is $1,800 for the application, $5,000 for the escrow. Colts Neck is $1,500 for the application, $11,500 for the escrow. Red Bank is at $1,400 for the application and $6,000 for the escrow. So as you can see, there's large differences between Atlantic Highlands and the adjacent communities. They are way higher than we are. And then just looking at just a basic variance, we're at $150 per variance, $350 for the escrow. Middletown's at $250 for each variance, and $500 for the escrow. Hazlet is at $200 each for residential, $250 each for non-residential. The escrow is $500 plus $100 for each additional after the first variance. And then Red Bank is $350 for each variance, $700 per lot. So just the conclusion is that we are way under every place around us. And I suggest to the board that the council, governing body, may want to look at your fees and think about revising them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stibe. Mr. Dougherty, as the council representative for the board, is there anything that you would like to offer, or just we'll open it up to discussion?
I would just like to hear from the board on their opinion in general of their thoughts on these fees. I mean, clearly, it's there in black and white, particularly the escrow amounts, I think, especially need attention. I think generally, the governing body and Mr. Farragine and Mrs. Clark are looking at fees overall here in the borough. Like, for example, the overnight parking fee in the municipal lot is $25 per year. So it's there's significant room for those fees to be adjusted to become much more comparable to what our neighboring communities are doing. So, but I would love to hear from the planning board on their,
right, just,
their,
you know,
thoughts.
I, aside from the work that Mr. Rohmeyer and Mr. Stibe did, I also went even further and looked at up in North Jersey, South Jersey, looked at where my mother lives right outside of Philadelphia, just to kind of gauge, you know, is how different is it? And it's the same story repeated over and over again. So does anybody have anything that they would like to offer?
I don't necessarily think just because every other town is expensive that we have to raise this as well. But it's already very cost prohibitive for some people to afford that. This is on some of the smaller stuff. So
sure.
Obviously, the other overnight parking stuff is not our territory, but some of the application fees get rather expensive when you get the engineering fees and the architects involved, and it gets very expensive for people. So if we can live without raising it, I think it's only does good things for our town rather than just making it expensive because other towns are. So.
I'd agree with what Mr. Curtis is saying. Not particularly actually for major subdivisions, things over 15,000 square feet, but minor site plan, single family homeowners, I think these fees can stack up. And I, this is super interesting. Thanks for providing it. I want to like, look into it much further. But I'm also interested in other towns of comparable size, I guess, to Atlantic Highlands. Like Highlands or stuff like that. But I want to look into it a bit further.
I would like to. I did some research myself, and just based on what we were presenting. And I guess to echo what everyone is saying, it's not so much the fees that might be different from other towns. It's the fact that the properties in Atlantic Highlands are mostly non-conforming, and that's based on our ordinances, as opposed to other towns. And I think this is similar to what Ms. Majerski is saying over there, is that Middletown basically says if you're non-conforming at certain levels, you do not have to get a variance because you've already been non-conforming, where, you know, the house is a certain age and the property, it's been built and it was built before those ordinances. That's not the case in Atlantic Highlands, where we encompass, like we have ordinances that basically exclude like 90% of the properties in the town based on ordinances happening after 1900 when the houses are built. So it basically encompasses most of the town anytime they make an application.
That's a great point.
I can specifically say Middletown is one that doesn't deviate from that process.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a great point. I agree with, you know, what everybody has said. At the same time, there is a cost, you know, to do business. You have to pay the employees that are, you know, charged with the responsibility of overseeing these applications. And I agree that, you know, simply because our fees and escrows are lower than our surrounding communities, doesn't necessarily mean that we have to raise the bar. But at the same time, I think that council, you know, the fees, if I'm correct, it's been a decade, right? About 10 years since this has been looked at. And I think, like, 10 years ago.
12 years, Mr. McGoldrick, it's been 12 years. Ordinance 3, 2011, where the planning board fees were passed.
Okay, so you know, this seems to me something that, you know, should probably be looked at, like, maybe on a biannual basis, just to make sure that the fees that we're requiring is covering the cost of actually conducting the business. You know,
is there something we can compare, whether it's actually losing money doing that, or is there something?
I mean,
is there a number something we can put together that we can figure out if you're losing money? That's obviously something that has to be addressed.
So if I could just jump in on that,
sure.
For the escrow component, I just want to remind the board members and members of the public that escrow is an initial deposit, right?
Right.
And if it's a very simplified application and it doesn't warrant a detailed report, the escrow may not be used and it's returned. The unused component is returned. Sometimes in an instance, if you have very low escrow deposits required initially, the escrow may go deficient and it could cause delays in an application. It can hold an applicant up, getting a plan signed off on and moving into construction down the road if you needed to add and replenish that escrow. So it's a deposit and it's not one-stop shopping, any application. You might have a very simple application compared to a large commercial site. Reviewing stormwater traffic, lighting, lint, a lot. It can deviate a lot. So I just want to remind everybody that it's just a deposit initially and can be replenished or refunded in accordance with the complexity of the application.
And just to add to that, your staff, if the escrow is deficient, your staff has to go and chase it, which causes delay and causes them more extra work to do that. So by increasing the escrow to a more realistic amount, you're avoiding that process and that extra work for your staff.
most of the escrows go over, correct? And on average, probably more than one payment most of the time, right? So increasing the escrow wouldn't really increase the cost to the person buying.
The cost is going to be the same.
Right.
And if their escrow is in excess, they're going to get it back.
So it's more about the application fees and all the other stuff that's really going to affect the applicant.
Right. So would moving the escrow, I mean, we've got three municipalities right now at $500, Middletown's at $2,000. Would be moving ours up to $500, be more in line with everybody else and everybody else.
Yeah, you know.
Would it make that much of a difference for $200?
I think that,
I think the process is to look at everything and just unify it and not just one thing. It may be that one thing you say, hey, it doesn't make a big difference,
right,
but when we go to the next thing on the scale, we're going to. So you look at the whole picture,
right,
and then adjust.
No, I agree. I just, we were talking about escrow, so I kind of picked that one up.
And I, like, I would personally like to avoid coming up with like an exact number as a recommendation. That's the job of the elected officials on council. Like our, that's not our task anyway. Like our task, you know, should council be looking at this? And I think,
yes.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
so that's what we're voting on, is whether council should review this?
Yeah.
You don't have to vote on
that. Not really.
Yeah, it's just a discussion.
Yeah. But like, yeah, you know, what the recommendation.
So we're recommending that.
Well, I'm, unless anybody would like to, you know, speak to the contrary, I would suggest that the board and the borough administrator take a look and decide, you know, as far as the fee schedule goes, what do we need to have to be charging for our fees in order, you know, to keep up the process. You know, we want to be able to afford what we're doing, right? And as far as the escrow goes, then, you know, that's, even though it's together, but it's somewhat of a separate issue. But that, you know, that also certainly needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
All right.
So I will pass along the message. And Mr. Stott, thank you for this information.
Yes,
this is very helpful. Appreciate it.
All right, with that, is there any other business the board would like to speak about? Seeing none, we will adjourn the workshop meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, time for our regular meeting. Call to order, please. And roll call.
Mr. Bombs?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Neff is out. Mr. Takamo?
Here.
Mr. Josko?
Here.
Mr. Krupinski?
Here.
Ms. Majewski?
Here.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Here.
Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Ms. Walter?
Here.
Chair McGoldrick?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. All right, first order of business is the appointment of Nancy Tran as our new board secretary. We very much appreciate her coming on board, but we do need a motion.
I'll second.
Sure. So I have Chair McGoldrick motioning and Mr. Dougherty seconding. Bombs motion and Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Kakamo?
Yes.
Mr. Jasky?
Yes.
Mr. Krupinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Chair McGoldrick?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Welcome. Thank you.
Welcome aboard. Thank you so much. Next order of business, the approval of minutes for March 2nd, 2023. Need a motion?
I'm going to make a motion with you.
Hawley motioned and Jasko second. Thank you. I'll get the names here soon. Mr. Baum?
Abstain.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Cuccamo?
Yes.
Mr. Jasky?
Yes.
Jasko, sorry. Mr. Krupinski?
Abstain.
Ms. McJewski?
Abstain.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Abstain.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Chair McCultrick?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next order of business is the approval of attorney's voucher for February 2023. Need a motion?
I'll move that. Dougherty?
I'll second it.
Mr. Baum?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Neff? Out. Sugar. Mr. Cuccamo?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kapinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Chair McCulture?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next order of business is resolution for Catamella, TB 22-21, Block 57, Lot 6, one seated court. Application for bulk variance, granting application withdrawal without prejudice. Need a motion?
I'll make the motion. Forward. Second, Jasko.
Mr. Baums?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Cuccamo?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Krupinski?
Yes.
Ms. McJewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Chair McCulture?
Yes.
Motion passes.
The next item is PB 22-14, Inzalaco. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Inzalaco? Application for bulk variances, front porch addition, carried from the March 2nd meeting. Come forward.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed services in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear this application, and I'm aware of the following exhibits that the board has received in connection with the application. They include Exhibit A1, it's a review from your zoning officer, Michelle Clark, that's dated March 30, 2022. You can have a seat, sir.
Thank you.
Exhibit A2 is a variance application of John Inzalaco. That's dated April 5, 2022. Exhibit A3 is a plot plan with elevation and floor plans prepared by Winkler Architecture and Design. They dated March 22, 2022, revised August 8, 2022. Exhibit A4 is a review number 1 from your engineer, CME Associates. That's dated June 30, 2022. Exhibit A5 is a location survey prepared by Thomas Craig Finnegan. That's dated July 28, 2022. Exhibit A6 is a review number 2 from your engineer, CME Associates, dated October 12, 2022. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of thus far in connection with the application. And I assume that you are the applicant, Mr. Inzalaco. Sir, would you raise your right hand and be sworn, please? Can you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And state your name and address, please.
James Rocco, 38 Asbury Ave, Atlantic Islands.
And sir, what can you tell the board about your application? What are you trying to accomplish? And why do you think that they should grant you variance approval to do so?
I'm trying to put a front porch on my house to give my wife a front porch. And I'm trying to convert my garage into more living space because the garage is from 1965. I can't park anything in it. An SUV don't fit in it. And right now it's just a place to put junk. So I'm really just trying to improve my household. And that's really it.
So, sir, in this case, there are two variances that are noted, including a lot coverage currently indicated in the CME report. 61.1% exists where 50% is permitted, and you're actually proposing to reduce your lot coverage.
Correct.
To 58.7%, it's still not conforming, but it's less non-conforming than what you have now. How are you going to accomplish that?
Well, I have a driveway in the front that goes to the garage, and I'm going to remove that and, you know, put grass over that. And I have a driveway on the side that holds four cars, but I have plenty of parking spaces. So the only thing I'm going to be doing is if I remove, and I think it'll be more appealing, remove the driveway up the front and the landscaping of the grass to, you know, to basically get more, you know, to have less coverage. I only bought the house 4 years ago, and obviously all the coverage issues resided back in 1971, and the prior owner did all this work. So I don't know if the ordinance is back then or in place. So I mean, that's kind of the best I can do, plus I think it would be more appealing.
Do the board members have any other questions? The garage, do you intend to use that as a rental, or is...
No. My living room butts right up against the garage.
Okay.
So I have five kids, but they're all sitting on the floor and everything, so we're just going to expand the living room into the garage.
Okay.
And that goes with Mr. Rohmeyer's report. So what are the... And a question, how many bedrooms will there be in the home?
Just three. No, my kids are adult kids, they're only little kids. But just three bedrooms.
Okay. And that will remain?
And you're going to have space for four vehicles?
Yes, easily.
So that would appear to comply with the 2.5 space requirements that are set forth in the CME. I don't know if Doug has any other issues that he wants to explore.
Thank you. So with regards to the proposed front porch, this is an open-air porch?
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
No plans to close it in?
No.
Air conditioning or heat?
No.
Okay. The roof line, stormwater runoff generated from the new porch expansion, how is that going to be handled? Are you going to have downspouts, or are you going to maintain the existing flow patterns?
Yeah, the spout to the left of where the spout on the left side is the same spout, it's not going to move. So the porch doesn't come out exactly to the front of the house, it's set back a little bit.
Yep.
And then the one on the right side, right here in the garage, is going to remain there also. So there's really no change in the flow or anything being done to that. So all the patterns are the same, and I don't think there's anything.
Thank you. Just for the board's clarification, we did receive additional information about the basement itself, and our calculation shows there's no issue with that floor area ratio, so the proposal remains compliant in that sense. Let's talk a little bit about the accessory structures. Your survey shows various sheds and...
The shed, well, again, I inherited this. The sheds in the back, which I think were on the property line, they've been there for 30 years. The one that's right behind, like the driveway on the side, it's not a shed. It's a Home Depot cloth canopy. I don't know why he drew it as a shed. I take it down everywhere. I have pictures of it. You know, I just take it down and put it up. But it's a, you know, $200 pop-up thing that I put up.
And just for confirmation one more time, you have enough space on your driveway for four cars without...
I probably put the shit that I really wanted to do. Easily four and your SUV. So I have pictures that can show
you. No overhanging to the road?
No.
Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Are there any questions from anybody in our audience tonight? Do we have any on Zoom?
No hands raised.
More comments. More comments. Yeah. Sorry. No hands raised. Nothing.
No hands raised.
So, board discussion.
I can see the need for, you know, living in Atlantic Highlands. I can see your want to have a front porch. So. I think it's welcome in for everybody to have a porch in town. I don't think it's a good idea to, you know, create an outdoor space where you can wait for your neighbors. With regards to the garage, I mean, a lot of those small garages are not usable in a lot of cases, and it was always the parking space is, you know, that he has with the existing other driveway is sufficient, and
yeah.
So there's a lot of people there.
Anybody else? Anybody want to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Okay. Do you want?
Mr. Bombs.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Mr. Holly.
Yes.
Mr. Cuccamo.
Yes.
Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Mr. Kupinski.
Yes.
Mr. Juicy.
Yes.
Dr. Zuzula.
Yes.
Mr. Curtis.
Yes.
Ms. Walter.
Yes.
Chair McCulter.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next item is PB 22-20, Zoe and Emilio's Kitchen, Block 127, Lot 10, 77 Center Avenue, minor site plan with D variance.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed service in connection with this application. Services and orders of workers have jurisdiction to hear the application. I'm aware of the following exhibits that the board has received in connection with the application. They include Exhibit A1, review of the zoning officer, Michelle Clark, as stated May 10, 2022. Exhibit A2 is the application of Emilio's Restaurant, dated May 17, 2022. Exhibit A3 is an undated restaurant layout. Exhibit A4 is a survey prepared by Ronald Trinidad, that's dated December 12, 2022. Exhibit A5 is review number 1 from your engineer, CME Associates, dated January 30, 2023. In addition to that, I can advise the board that this afternoon at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we received an email from an interested citizen, and I'm giving that a marking of IC for interested citizen number 1. Normally, and that citizen is not available this evening. She advised that she's not available because it is a religious holiday for her, Holy Thursday. And that's set forth in her statement. Normally, I would tell the board for items that are in writing, letters such as this, that they're hearsay. If the person can come to the meeting either in person or by Zoom, and they can state what's in their statement, and that is taken under oath as testimony, and that's fine. But the letter itself is hearsay, and it's not subject to cross-examination, and therefore the board should give it very little or no weight whatsoever. Notwithstanding that, since she's unable to be here for religious purposes, and it's a brief letter, I think I'm just going to read it into the record. I think the board should give it very light weight, but I'll read it at this point. This is from Muriel J. Smith, 29 Leonard Avenue in Atlantic Highlands. And she says, I write this letter in support of the variance request for Zoe's and Emilio's Restaurant on Center Avenue. While I do not live within 200 feet, I'm notified for the variance request. I also recognize and appreciate the owners have found other parking sites available and will give visitors the opportunity to stroll a short distance through an attractive neighborhood to enjoy a meal. I regret I'm not able to attend the meeting in person because of the Holy Thursday observance. I almost believe a precedent has already been set, in as much as years ago Zoe was at times open for dinner or late evening meals, and I do not believe there was any resistance from neighbors. Regardless, I do not feel evening dining will cause any detriment to the lovely neighborhood. As an older person with some disabilities, I appreciate the possibility that a restaurant for dinner will be available closer to my home, and I look forward to being able to walk to a restaurant for an evening meal without having to face all the activity on an also thriving First Avenue. So that's the letter. Reading it in, I'm telling you that you have to weigh it very carefully, because, or I should say very lightly, because the individual isn't here. They're not available for cross-examination by other interested parties or the applicant. That being said, Mr. Kennedy is here on behalf of the applicant and ready to proceed with the application.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen of the board. My name is Kevin Kennedy. I'm an attorney with an office in Red Bank, and I'm very pleased and very honored to be here tonight on behalf of Zoe's and Emilio's Kitchen, 77 Center Avenue. My client, as referenced by Mr. Stein, currently operates a Mexican restaurant at the site called Zoe's and Emilio's Kitchen. My client has been operating at the site for approximately 1 year. I think prior to that, it was known as Zoe's Vintage Kitchen. The property is located in a residential zone. It's the R1 zone, and a restaurant is a not permitted use. Currently, the restaurant only serves breakfast and lunch. There's an inside portion of the restaurant and an outside portion. And as I indicated, currently the restaurant only serves breakfast and lunch. I initially assumed that there was some type of condition from a prior approval which said it can only be breakfast and lunch, but I did not see that. I spoke with the zoning officer about that, and I did an open request for prior approvals, and I didn't see anything to that effect. There was a resolution from 1986, which referenced that it was a delicatessen at the time with an apartment above, and that they got an approval to add a laundromat. I did not see any references, any specific conditions, but that, so I don't know for sure what the basis, what the genesis of that condition was, but it apparently exists, and we're not challenging that. But my client has a desire to expand the operation so as to allow dinner to be served. Because zoning regulations are rightfully sensitive to non-conforming uses being located and or expanded and or intensified in a residential district, my client needs use variance relief for an expansion of a non-conforming use and or site plan approval and waiver of site plan approval. I respectfully submit that the testimony and evidence presented tonight will hopefully provide you with comfort to approve the application. I'm going to attempt to show you and prove to you that if the application is approved, the expanded operation will not cause any type of substantial detriment to the public good. Through my witness tonight, we're going to attempt to testify extensively as to the nature of the current operations at the site and the nature of the operations at the site if this application is granted. And because of the considerations of the R1 zone and the residential properties which surround the restaurant, and because my client is aware of the fact that any approval runs with the land, we are offering, in my opinion, and hopefully you will agree, many limitations and restrictions on the nighttime operations relative to that outside small dining area, and we will get into that momentarily. It is our hope that the board will find comfort in approving this relatively narrow box within which we want to operate. And Mr. Chair, I have one witness tonight, Emilio Vincenz. He is the proprietor of the restaurant and an Atlantic Islands resident. I also have Michael Nagay here. He's the general manager of the restaurant. I don't plan on calling him unless there are certain questions that we need him for. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the time, and with your consent, may I call my first witness?
Mr. Kennedy, before you do, I want to just cover some technical issues. This is a D variance, it's a use variance involved, so the Class 1 and 3 members have to step down. So I'm going to have to ask Dr. Zinzlak to step down from the board. Since this is a D variance, I'll also note that Mr. Dougherty has already stepped down. And Ms. Walters has a conflict, and she has also stepped down, and Mr. Balms has stepped down as well.
Okay. So let me do my math, and how many eligible voters do we have?
We still have 7.
Perfect. I'll call my first witness.
Clarification on the classification.
Yeah, I'm no longer... I think Mr. Bonds took my position, so I'm no longer...
So you're no longer Class 1. Then you can stick around. Come on down.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Pleasure.
The price is wrong.
In fairness, I did just transfer.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have Emilio Vincenz sworn.
Sir, would you raise your right hand and be sworn, please? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
And state your name and address, please.
My name is Emilio Vincenz, and I live in 77 Center Avenue.
And for the record, spell your last name, please.
V-I-C-E-N-S.
Thank you.
All right, and I know we're going to ask you to speak real loudly so that people in the back can hear. And just for the record, you're the proprietor of the restaurant, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and we'll get into this momentarily, but just very briefly, and for record-keeping purposes, why don't you tell the board and members of the public who are here a little bit about yourself, who you are, what your experience is in the restaurant business?
Good evening, board of members. My name is Emilio Vicens, and I live in Atlantic Highlands for about 8 years, a little more than 8 years. And I have this restaurant for about a year. But also I've been working in this town for more than 10 years. So I used to manage a Copper Canyon restaurant for 7 years until before COVID. Also, I manage a Gaslight restaurant for like 5 years. And also I manage Highway restaurant, which was the same owner, and First Avenue for about a year and a half until we got COVID. But before that, I was a sous chef in an Italian restaurant in Middletown. It used to call Anna's Italian Kitchen. And I was also a head chef for about a year. So, and I live in this town, and I really fell in love with this town, with the community. And my service is what I love to do. You know, I really enjoy doing this for the community because this is where my children live. So they really have like a really beautiful example. So I want to continue doing this, and I have the passion for the culinary. So
okay, thank you. And in terms of the property itself, the property is owned by Vincent Pagliano, correct?
Correct.
And he consented to the filing of this application?
Yes.
And you are an existing tenant at the site, correct? And you said you've been there for about 1 year?
Yes.
And I'm sure even we're in the R1 zone, and I'm sure everyone on the board is familiar with the property, but just for the record, what are some of the surrounding properties?
We have a concrete patio.
I'm sorry, are they single-family homes that are the neighbors?
Yes. Single-family homes, sorry.
No problem. And let's talk about the existing building. It's a two-story building at the site right now?
Correct.
And for the record, what improvements exist besides the building? What else is there?
It's just the gallery and the restaurant.
Okay, and in terms of the buildings on and the structures and things on your property, the survey suggests that there's an asphalt parking area?
Correct.
Is there any sheds or anything?
Yeah, we have a shed, we have a patio, which is concrete, and a basement.
Okay, so the building, basement, shed, and an asphalt area. And in terms of, let's go through the building from bottom up. There's an existing basement there. I understand that that's not really used for your part of the operation, correct?
Correct.
That's the owner's storage area?
The owner's storage.
And on the first floor, you made reference to there's a jewelry store there?
Correct.
Okay. What's the name of that jewelry store?
Ginny's.
See Ginny's?
Ginny's.
And then you have your restaurant on the first floor?
Correct.
And then on the second floor, what's on the second floor?
It's an apartment which that's where I live.
Okay, you live in that apartment,
correct.
And you said you lived there for 8 years?
Yes, correct.
And just for the record, how many bedrooms?
3 bedrooms.
Okay, and I had indicated in my opening speech, but really we need to hear it from you, do you have any information or testimony about how the restaurant or how that building, your space was utilized before you started operating a year ago?
It was just breakfast and lunch.
I mean, what was it? Another restaurant was there before you got
correct,
there?
Yes.
Which restaurant was that?
It was always Vintage.
Okay. And let's talk about, just so that the board has the parameters by which you operate. Right now, you have an interior portion of the restaurant and an exterior portion, correct?
Correct.
And just for the record, what is right now the seating capacity for the interior portion?
38.
And what about the existing capacity for the, the seating capacity for the exterior portion?
30.
And so what type of restaurant do you operate at that site?
breakfast and lunch.
Mexican restaurant? Okay. And you offer breakfast and lunch, and just real briefly, very briefly, just what are some of the things on your menus?
We have omelets, tacos, quesadillas, sandwiches.
Okay. And you indicated it's just breakfast and lunch right now, correct?
Correct.
And why is that? Or why do you only serve breakfast and lunch?
Because that's what we got approved for the timing. Only to serve breakfast and lunch until 4 o'clock p.m.
Okay. And the town told you that's what you had within you, which you have to operate?
Correct.
And you said, okay.
Yes.
And right now, what are your hours of operation for your existing establishment right now?
7 to 4.
All right. And that's Monday through Friday, and that is that the same for Saturday?
Yes, correct.
And same for Sunday?
Same for Sunday.
7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And just for the record, what is the total number of employees that you have in your operation right now? Total number, not at one time, but just total number.
Six.
Six, all right. And so is that the maximum number of employees that would be on the site at any one time?
Correct.
And what type of employees would you have, those six employees who would be, maximum employees would be at the site at one time? What type of employees are they?
It would be three cooks, a dishwasher, and two servers.
Okay. And obviously you're part of that, and as I understand, as the owner, sometimes you're a cook, sometimes you serve many roles, correct?
Correct, yes.
And why don't you describe a typical weekday and typical weekend? I know you're very seasonal in terms,
yes,
of some respects.
Well, during the week, we do around 35-40 people, also in the winter time when it's cold. And the weekends, we do around 150, and also in the summer.
So it sounds like weekends are better for you from a business than weekdays.
Correct.
And is it safe to say summer and the warmer months are better for business than,
correct,
the colder months?
Correct.
And in terms of typically, where do your patrons, the people who eat at your restaurant, where do they come from?
The most of them are from Atlantic Highlands and the surrounding areas.
Okay. And right now, do you offer or provide any type of entertainment, singers, dancers, bands, DJs at the site?
No.
All right. Not inside, not outside?
No.
Okay. And parking right now, where, currently, right now, how many parking spaces are technically on your site?
Two.
Okay. And I understand that they're typically for the residential tenant, you?
Yes.
Okay. And right now, where do your patrons park when they want to eat at your restaurant?
On the street.
And have you historically had any issues with that arrangement?
Not at all.
So you're not aware of any issues, and people have not, and have neighbors complained?
No.
To your knowledge?
No.
And do sometimes people from, do some of your patrons walk or bicycle to your restaurant?
Yes.
And what about employees? Do some of your employees bike or walk, or how do they, employees get there?
Some of them, they got dropped off. Some of them just walk.
Okay. And obviously you, since you live upstairs, I would assume you walk to work.
Correct.
Okay. And let's talk about garbage right now. How is the garbage collected? Is it municipal? Does the town pick up the garbage?
Yes.
Okay. And how frequently does that garbage get picked up?
Two times a week.
And where do you store your garbage on the property right now?
Behind the restaurant, by the shed.
By the shed. And is there currently a dumpster on the site?
No.
And how is the garbage contained? Is it in bags? Is it in cans?
It's in bags, and I have containers.
Okay. And just, I know this is sort of a little bit of a intense question, but how many garbage containers do you have right now?
Five.
Five garbage containers. And what about, do you have separate containers for recycling?
Correct.
Okay. And is the five garbage containers that you have, is that sufficient for your operations?
Yes.
Okay. Is it to the point that the garbage is overflowing, or you have room?
I have room.
Room for more garbage?
Yes.
And how do you handle bottles and recycling? Where are the bottles stored?
We keep it inside into in the containers, and when is the day for pickup, we take it out to the streets.
Okay, so I'm assuming then that you don't have any issues with dumping, with noises emanating from you dumping bottles into a dumpster or into the garbage can?
No.
Because you just wheel it out from, you store it inside?
Correct.
Let's talk about deliveries that you get for your existing establishment. What type of, I'm assuming you have food delivered to you, correct?
Correct.
And how frequent is that food delivery?
I get deliveries 3 times a week.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I'm not real well versed in the restaurant business, but I say, how come you get 3 times a week?
Because I want my food to be very, very, very fresh.
So
that's the reason. I also have a small space.
So, Mr. Chairman, he told me fresh food means good food. So that's always important. And typically, what time do the delivery vehicles come those 3 times a week?
Around 6 to 7 a.m.
Okay. And how long does the loading and unloading process last when they take things off the vehicle?
15 minutes, the maximum.
15 minutes?
Yes.
All right. So we've indicated that we're here tonight to expand the hours of operation, and you want to serve dinner. And just for the record, why do you want to serve dinner?
Because we have a loyal clientele, and they've been asking often when can we have dinner. And I think it will be a good experience to have the opportunity to serve dinner.
And I think is it true that I think in some of our prior conversations, you've sort of at least told me in your mind you always had always planned on doing this if you got permission to
That's
do
correct.
It?
That's correct.
Okay. And in terms of, have you had, and you've referenced this, you've had some communications with some patrons and they've asked you for,
That's
hey,
correct.
Do you have the ability to serve dinner?
Yes.
So if you get the approval to serve dinner, do you feel that people will come if you're operating open for dinner?
That's correct.
Okay. And if you are fortunate to get approval, what would your hours of operation be for the dinner? And I really am interested in what time would you stop serving dinner?
It would be 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock p.m. And just for the record, Mr. Stibe, I think my notice said they'd stop at 8:30, but we further analyzed that. So you'd stop at 8, and that means dinner last meals would be served at 8 o'clock p.m.?
That's correct.
Okay. And in terms of, very briefly, what do you anticipate that your dinner menu will include? What type of meals?
Mr. Kennedy, before
yes.
you answer that, they're going to stop serving at 8. That's last call. When are they closed?
When would the last, when would you typically, or not typically, when will the last person leave and your operation will close at night?
It'll be at 9:30.
Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Stibe. In terms of parking, where will your nighttime patrons park?
They will park on the St. Agnes Church parking.
And how far away is St. Agnes Church?
It's about one block away.
And do you have an arrangement with St. Agnes Church to accommodate such parking?
Yes.
And is there a written agreement?
Yes.
Okay. And I believe, Mr. Chairman, after my involvement in the case, I believe we have an agreement, and we're going to mark it into the record. I believe the only signed version of the agreement is in the town possession. We have an unsigned copy of the version of the agreement. So, do you, Mr. Vincent, you're under oath. Have you seen a signed version of the agreement?
Yes.
Okay. And if the board is willing to approve the application, would it, does Doug have it? Oh, thank you. good. As a condition of the approval, you would submit that written agreement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I have an unsigned version that I wanted to bring you, and I'll have him authenticate it, but if you have the signed version, you can mark that.
This is a license agreement between or for use of facilities at Our Lady of Perpetual Help St. Agnes Parish at Atlantic Highlands. And it is signed, dated June 16, 2022. That's going to be A6.
A6, thank you. And we're going to get to that agreement momentarily, but how long is that agreement with the church? What's the time frame for there?
4 to 9 p.m.
Okay. And then is it for a, it was up until, I think it's almost, you know, it was till May of this year, correct?
Correct.
And I believe the agreement provides for a perpetual extension unless the church has an issue, but it's perpetually extended, correct?
Correct.
And have you had communications with St. Agnes officials about extending it further?
Yes.
And what have the result of those conversations been?
Good. I can expand for another 3 years.
Okay. And it's just that they're in the process of, it's Holy Week, and they're in the process,
yes,
of doing the paperwork and putting it up there through their board.
Correct.
Okay. And just for the record, how many spaces are you allowed to utilize per this arrangement with St. Agnes?
At least 20.
At least 20 spaces.
Plus the handicap.
Okay. And I believe there's a reference that more if necessary.
Correct.
And you asked this, but let me ask it again. Just the time frame for when cars can be parked in the St. Agnes lot. What's that time frame?
4 to 9.
4 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. And do you think that St. Agnes Church is too far away for your patrons to walk?
Absolutely not.
And do you feel comfortable that your patrons will, in fact, park in St. Agnes Church and walk to your restaurant?
Yes.
And how are your patrons going to know that they're supposed to park at St. Agnes?
I will tell them by when they call for a reservation. I also have a website and Instagram or Facebook, and that's the way they will know, and I will only take reservations for dinner.
So this is a dinner reservation only?
Correct.
Okay. And when they call, your staff will be told to make sure that they know that they can park in St. Agnes?
Correct.
And do you feel that this off-site arrangement is going to work?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Because I know that I have a good product.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, just for the record, as part of the noticing process, I also did notice the people within 200 feet of the St. Agnes parking lot, just so that there'd be no issues with that. And so basically, you're talking about this, a shared parking arrangement.
Correct.
It's nearby. You don't have to have anything newly paved. The lot's already there, and it's not utilized.
That's correct.
And what about when your patrons are using this between 4 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night, is the church going to be using the parking lot at that time?
No.
So your needs are going to be not going to be competing with the church's needs?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, and just for the record, the St. Agnes parking arrangement is not for breakfast customers or lunch customers, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then, in the unlikely event, just for the record, the agreement that was marked as A6, it does say that the church can change, the church can terminate the agreement in the event the church changes hands, that the property changes hands, that a change of pastors, and so things like that. If for some reason that arrangement was terminated, would you accept as a condition that you have an obligation to come up with a similar type of arrangement?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm just going to propose within 6 months of whenever it's terminated, but you would recognize that you have, if the board agrees with this, that you would have to get another parking arrangement within 6 months.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's talk about a comparison of your existing operation versus what your operation is going to be like if you weren't able to extend the hours. You talked earlier about right now you have a maximum of 6 employees on the site. Is that the same? Is it going to be the same?
Yes.
So maximum, if dinner is served, maximum of six people, employees on the site at one time?
Correct.
Okay. And in terms of the seating capacity, is that going to change at all?
No.
So what numbers you gave before for the inside and the outside are going to remain the same?
The same.
And what about, you're not going to, in terms of, let's talk about that outside dining area and landscaping. So just for the record, why don't you describe that outside dining area? How big is it?
It's 12 by 33 feet.
12 by 33 feet?
Yes.
All right, we'll verify that. And in terms of roughly how many tables are out there?
Eight.
Eight. And roughly how many seats?
Twenty-two.
And for the record, the outside dining area is not enclosed, correct?
Correct.
You don't have any walls around it?
No.
Okay. And that outside dining area is not covered. There's no roof over it, correct?
Correct.
And it's only utilized in the summer and warmer parts of spring and fall?
That's correct.
And you recognize that if you get the approval, your outside dining area could not be enclosed or covered absent formal and further approval from this board. You know that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't think you have any, do you have any intention of enclosing it or doing anything like that?
No.
And right now, that outside dining, where is it on the property? Is it on the side? Is it the rear?
It's on the side.
Okay. And are there any homes that are bordering that outside area?
Just one home, yes.
Okay. And right now, and if you were serving dinner, what's the noise going to be like there? Are you having a DJ out there? Are you having a loudspeaker out there? Is there a cash register out there? Are you having music and entertainment out there?
No.
Okay, none of that?
None of that.
And there's no intention to do that?
No.
And you know that if you got the approval, if you're saying that there's not going to be any outside entertainment, that's going to be the law, and you're going to have to obey that.
Correct.
Okay. And in terms of landscaping, is there any landscaping out there right now that, particularly with regard to the outside dining area, that shields your property and the adjacent property?
Yes.
Okay. And what's the landscaping?
We have 18 pine trees around.
Okay. And I think we have a picture of that somewhere.
Correct.
Do we? Okay. So let me just identify this. Are these all the same?
Yes.
Okay.
This is one.
Okay, so we'll use this one. And why don't you just describe this picture before we mark it? What is this a picture of?
That's the entrance.
This is your outside dining area?
The outside dining area.
And did you take this picture?
Yes.
Okay, and when did you take this picture?
Yesterday.
Mr. Stive, can I mark this as A7?
It's going to be A7 while you're doing that. He's testified that there will be no outside entertainment, but will there be outside speakers with music?
No.
Not going to have salsa music or anything like that going on?
Only inside.
Okay.
And it'll not protrude outside. Absolutely. Good point, sir. And the pine trees, as this picture's coming around, that exist today, are they baby pine trees? Are they mature?
They're mature.
Okay. And do those pine trees, in your opinion, do they serve as a visual and noise buffer?
No.
They shield your property, they're between your property and the neighboring property, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And in terms of... let's go. As a condition, if this application were to be approved, would you agree that you would perpetually, forever, as long as you're the owner of the property, maintain and replant and replace those trees as necessary?
I agree.
Okay. So that we always want that buffer to be there. And
correct.
And you would also agree, I don't know if there's any room for it, but if the board wanted you to put additional landscaping or if we felt that was necessary, you would do that, correct?
Correct.
And in terms of the existing outside dining area, have you thus far experienced any, again, you're not serving dinner now, but with regard to the breakfast and lunch when it's utilized, have you experienced any complaints from any of the neighbors?
No.
Okay. And because the issue was raised in the board engineer's review memo, why don't you talk about some of the landscaping on the other side of the property? Is there landscaping on the other side of the property, too?
Yeah, we have grass and a few trees in the small patio.
Okay. And if you get this approval, are you going to have more deliveries for food, or is it going to be the same?
The same.
Same process, same frequency, same time frame?
Correct.
And now, I know that you were not planning any lighting, and then we said, well, if you needed to have some just basic safety lighting, that you would do something that would be very low yeah. impact, downward
Correct.
Facing, not on all the time,
That's
and certainly true. Nothing to spill over into any adjacent properties, just for safety, correct?
Correct.
Now, in terms of, again, I'm just going to hit on this again, even though Mr. Stibe did, because this is important, that outside dining area, if you get the approval, there's no entertainment out there, no loudspeakers, no amplified noise of any type, correct?
Correct.
You would agree to that?
Yes.
And what about, are the late night patrons going to hear, I'm sorry, are the late, would neighbors hear the late night clanking of bottles?
Nope.
Because it's the same thing, you said that you keep them inside.
Exactly.
Okay. And what about typically when you're, you know, when people leave your restaurant, are they rowdy? Are they noisy? I mean, they don't.
No.
You don't have a disco. People eat
exactly.
and leave, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what about, just for the record, is there any exterior construction proposed? You're not proposing any construction, correct?
Correct.
Nothing outside, nothing inside?
Nothing inside and nothing outside.
And the board engineer's review memo suggests that you're going to have to comply with, obviously, all the fire regulations, and you know that and are willing to do that?
Correct.
And you would obviously get any necessary permits that you would need? Correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then just, Mr. Chairman, last couple of questions for him. If you get the approval, are we going to be changing the orientation of the building?
No.
The height of the building?
No.
The location of the building?
No.
The orientation of the building?
No.
Are you changing the ingress and egress?
No.
Are you changing how the basement is utilized?
No.
Are you changing how the first floor is utilized?
No.
Are you changing how the second floor is utilized?
No.
And garbage collection will stay the same?
Yes.
Okay. And you're not proposing any signage, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And obviously, if you do, any signage will comply with prevailing zoning regulations. And last question, I thank you for being a great witness. Do you have anything else to add before we turn it over to the board members?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. All right. Questions from the board?
I have just a point of clarification. Maybe I just wasn't listening properly, but in the initial testimony, you said it's 30 seats outside, and then just recently it was 22 seats outside. Is there an additional area, or?
We have a couple tables by the street.
Okay, but those are already existing?
Yes.
Okay. So then that's where the 30 comes from?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I have one more. So the last patient leaves at 9:30. Is that Monday through Sunday?
Correct.
Okay. And is there any issues with the early delivery now? Is there any issues with noise, any complaints, or any concerns?
No.
And then there will be no additional deliveries required for the extended hours?
Correct.
Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you.
I was going to ask the same question, actually.
Excuse me. What's the capacity of the restaurant?
38 inside.
38 people.
And 30 outside.
What's with the parking? There's no handicap? Is they require to have handicap? You
it
do
is.
Have handicap?
Yes.
Where's that located?
It's by the back door.
Okay. And how's the lighting?
Inside?
At nighttime. For the patrons to walk from the church to your to the restaurant?
There's lamps on the street.
Lamps in the street.
Yeah.
And how close to the sidewalks are the houses? You're actually walking a town block here to go to your restaurant in the evening hours. That's a concern of mine. And the people walking on Center Avenue at evening hours, leaving your restaurant.
Right.
The way the cars ride pretty close to the curbs on Center Avenue, and especially when two cars are coming together.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't see it as a safe walkway for the evening hours, and I'm concerned about the residents being so close to the sidewalk that your patrons are going to be walking through there at nighttime and the noise that they might be making talking to the restaurant. There's usually people walking to a restaurant in good mood, laughing, all that. So that's a whole block that the patrons would be walking. And I don't know, that's a concern of mine. You know, it seems like you outgrown your restaurant. And, you know, basically for years it was just a breakfast and lunch place. So now you're growing your restaurant and you're imposing on the residents. Now this is their evening hours, right? And especially in the summertime, they're going to have their windows open. They're going to be listening to all your patrons. I have a big concern with that. I mean, I just ate at your restaurant yesterday. Yeah. Food's great, lovely place. A concern about the residents and their evening hours when they should be allowed to relax at their home. Okay. You know, and it's, to me, it seems like you outgrew the place. We have a whole First Avenue where a business like this could be established. So that's where I'm at with that. I don't know how everybody else feels.
I just have a question. I know that for the evening hours, you want to provide some lighting outside. I wanted to ask on that for you to clarify that. Will you be putting any lighting outside on your patio?
Yeah, it would be very low, just to
walk in.
Yeah, it will be nothing like really bright.
Great. I'm an advocate for lighting, just so patrons can see where they're going.
Sure.
As long as it's not directed towards or in a blinding fashion to the adjacent property.
Yes, correct.
Cool. I appreciate the alternate parking concerns, because if we did put them on First Avenue, the first thing I would ask is, where did you want them to park? So, I mean, the fact that there's an alternate location for parking, I think I appreciate that. So I have no issue with that part.
Are we not allowed to, I should know this, to park on the street for a restaurant? Are you allowed to? So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's great that you do have a plan in place with the parish and agreement. But if your occupancy load is not changing, I would expect that parking shouldn't be an issue. If it isn't now, it won't be an issue going forward.
I'm sorry.
I counter that only because it's breakfast and lunch, and a lot of the people in the community aren't home.
Yeah,
and so the street parking is predominantly open.
Aren't there driveways in that part?
There's some driveways, but I mean, I will use Mr. Dougherty as an example. They're a two-car family, and one will fit really nicely in front of his boat. And then the other one has to park on the street. So just as an example, and he lives in that area. So I would just say that I do think that the agreement is necessary, and I would be more inclined to approve this based on the condition that if that agreement did fall through, that in 6 months he would look for additional parking.
And if,
Yeah, or provide bike racks.
Well, an agreement, something could go wrong the first day with an agreement.
Yeah.
If somebody gets hurt on that property, that's it. It's done.
Right.
All
right.
Well, if someone gets hurt, it's happened before. I've seen it.
Absolutely.
It happened at Ichabod's when it was not Ichabod's, in Highlands, where the Chubby Pickle was. Someone got hurt on the property next to it, and that was it. They wouldn't allow them to park there anymore.
So
it's just an agreement. It doesn't mean anything.
Well,
okay.
If I could just say two things. First, I'm going to, I totally appreciate your point about the parking and park on the street. And to my client's credit, that's one of the first things I said. And he said, I don't want to interfere with my neighbors. They don't bother me. I like them. And it's a residential zone. So I thought, well, that's nice. And Mr. Cockmo, that's a very valid concern that you have, and I think that I would respond by that by saying, if you look at that A6 document,
the church put together a pretty tough agreement, and we are required to provide them with a certificate of insurance, naming them as additional insured. We are required to release, defend, and indemnify them. We're required to repair any damage that we do, and also we cannot use the parking lot for purposes that are not in accordance with the Roman Catholic Church. So it is a pretty tough agreement, and so I appreciate, but we do have the insurance, and there's always a possibility that something like that will happen, and I think that's why we have insurance and stuff. I don't know if that satisfactorily addresses you, but at least that's our side of it, and I appreciate the concerns.
Doug, did you have anything?
Addressed much of my report. I wanted to circle back to the trash and recycling component. While a proposed expansion of seating is not in play tonight, you are going to potentially and hopefully for your business going to turn over more tables throughout the day and the week. So do you have any photos of the trash area with you to share with the board? I'm just looking on online photography, and I'm seeing things like broken up cardboard boxes, up against the fence. I'm seeing a lot of robo cans. That has potential to get exacerbated with the additional plates that are the covers that you're going to give throughout the week. Do you have any plan to mitigate that?
We have the shed, and we have like a door, so it doesn't move any containers to the side. And we have like a small box to put all the boxes, the cardboard boxes, and we tie them. And we also we put them in the basement, so we take it out when the truck start to pick up the recycling. There is nothing flying around. I don't have any pictures at the moment, but I can.
Is there any way to screen that area? It seems like a hodgepodge of materials and containers. That's highly visible to the road and the neighbors and the residential property right across the street. I'm concerned that the extended hours is going to result in more refuse and different pickups, and screening could be appropriate.
Sure. And if I could, Mr. Romero, so Emilio, what they're asking is if, in the event the application were to be approved, could we put something around the garbage area to make it prettier so it's not offensive and it's the garbage is contained, whether it's a fence or landscaping or something to that effect to make it prettier for you and the neighbors. Would that be something that you would work with?
Definitely.
Mr. Roymeyer, would something like that is what you're suggesting? Or, I mean...
It seems like a reasonable offering to mitigate that potential.
Sure.
Because tonight you're asking for a debanner. It's an expansion of this non-conforming use, and the board's charged with... ensuring that the negative impacts are mitigated, and the site is suitable to handle that proposed activity.
We would, if that's an issue for the board, we would have no problem with that.
All right, very good. Let me just jump onto that line of questioning, though. So you have a dedicated area for garbage. Is that for the restaurant only?
Right.
So the jewelry shop doesn't utilize that, and your own personal use is contained in your apartment,
right?
And you handle that way.
Yes.
So that area is for restaurant use only. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right, so that would be a reasonable idea, right? To contain.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And when the cans are brought out to the street to pick up, they're in front of the restaurant property only, right? It doesn't spill on the other side of the driveway in front of the residential piece.
That's correct. It's just by the restroom.
And you'll have enough room along your property to continue that?
Yes.
If you add additional cans?
Yes.
For the board and the public's clarification with regards to the parking, based on what we've heard tonight, residential use upstairs, the three bedrooms, which are going to need for two parking stalls, and please confirm for me that the on-site parking is primarily dedicated to that residential use. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So then on the ground level, jewelry store, which is retail, our parking code requires One stall for 200 square feet. Is it 200? I'm sorry.
Yes. Your review memo said one for 200.
Correct. And then for the restaurant use, I think it's a whichever is more restrictive, right? You can look at total number of seats, and you look at square footage. So when you based on your layout plan that was provided with the application, it's going to trigger the need for 31 parking stalls. For the uses on the first floor, and then two stalls for the use upstairs for residential. So it looks like overall parking demand would be 33 against the current code if this was to be built today. I do recognize no expansion of the capacity at any one time. Do you agree with that? That the extended hours is going to result in the same total amount of people on site at any one time that would be maintained, and the extended hours is not going to increase the amount of patrons on site. Do you agree with that?
Yes, we do.
So it looks like, against the code, 33 will be required for all uses on site and in the existing and proposed condition.
And how many spots are at St. Agnes?
Up to 20. Right now, 20, and more if necessary.
Any other questions from the board? How about from our audience? Does anybody have a question for this applicant? We'll do comments after questions. We have a question?
Mary McDowell, on behalf of Gene Martin, who is a resident of the property, the Los Angeles Shack on the Dump, Breezy Avenue, and West Palm Branch. In looking at the agreement you have with the St. Agnes parking, it is only from 4 to 9. How do you intend to go beyond that if your last meeting is 8 o'clock and you've represented to the board that you intend people to be out by 9:30? It appears that your agreement will be non-conforming.
If we need to, would you modify that your people would be out of the restaurant by 9 o'clock to be consistent with the agreement?
Yes.
So even though we said earlier everything would be out by 9:30, you would change that to 9 o'clock to be consistent with the St. Agnes agreement?
That's correct.
And then that would that require then a last seating at 7:30 for purposes of the variance?
Can people... Oh, may I ask him? I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. If the last seating, would people be able to be out by 9 if you eat them at... the last meal is served at 8 o'clock, or would you need to set that back to 7:30?
I can see them at 7.
You could stop serving at 7:30?
Yes.
All right, because you want to make people happy?
Yes.
All right. Right. So you would say last meal at 7:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 7 o'clock.
I'm sorry, 7 o'clock. Right. Okay, thank you.
Question. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Anything online?
I have a question. I live on 72, directly across.
Sir, please identify yourself.
Yes, first name is Scott, last name Mullen. And I'm challenging what he said as far as the dwellings for a lot of our single families. Directly across the street from him is
two family rental. Sir, let me ask you if you could. This isn't a question. There will be comment period later.
But
you're stating facts at this point, so why don't you come forward so the microphone is definitely pick you up, and then I want to swear you in so that it's under oath, so that if it goes to the court will entertain what you say. So come on up. That's fine right there. If you raise your right hand, you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
And state your name again and spell your last
name. First name is Mullen, M-U-L-L-I-N.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The two things I just want to make, because it didn't come up in the whole conversation, there's no parking on that side of the street where the restaurant is from Avenue B all the way down to Avenue A.
So you're limiting parking on one side of the street. I live directly across the street, two houses down at 72 Center Avenue. The house directly next to me, to the right of me, which is 76 Center Avenue, is a five-family dwelling, parking lot, driveway for two cars. There's a two-family house directly across the street from the restaurant that has no driveway. House around the corner, there's no parking certain amount of feet from the corner. Single-family house, no driveway. When you go to the left of Avenue B, there's buses parked on that street. In front of my house, I own three cars, my wife, my daughter, and myself. It's like parking lot attendant trying to get a parking spot anywhere near the front of my house. I only park in front of my house. I don't like to park in front of my neighbor's house because my neighbor to my left has two cars barely fit in their driveway. People across the street, they park on the grass because they have so many cars, not enough. Now, I'm not against the business, I don't care. But parking is an issue, and it always has been. I've lived there 20 years. I only see one of my neighbors there, Jean, and I know she lives right next door. But parking is an issue, and you can have all the parking you want down in St. Agnes, but human nature is you pull up and you see a parking spot on the one side of the street where you're only allowed to park, you're going to park it. You're not going to say, well, let me go two blocks and park in St. Agnes and walk. It's a rainy day. Are you going to park? No, you're going to park closest spot you can. If it is a residential area, it's a big concern. How's that, you know, I don't know if anybody else lives on Center Avenue. Buses go up and down every day. There's a school bus stop right in front of his restaurant at 7 o'clock in the morning. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. These are other issues. I know the trucks don't bother, they come early. Patrons don't bother, I've never had a problem with anybody other than somebody parking in front of my driveway, and I try to pull in my driveway, and they said, oh, I'm waiting for somebody to come out of the restaurant. Which is fine, I understand that. It's a business, but I kind of agree with the gentleman said, maybe there's a reason why it was never a restaurant at night time, because it is a residential area. And there's nothing to enforce those people to go down to St. Agnes and park. And the other thing is there is a conflict. St. Agnes, I don't know if there's any Christians here, they have a 5 o'clock mass on Saturday. Other than that, I don't know if that's a conflict with the parking agreement. If they have enough, I don't know. But it is a consideration.
Thank you very much.
That's my only concern is parking, because it's always a consideration. Later at night, I come home from work, am I going to have a place to park? My wife is in my driveway, my daughter's in my driveway. Two cars are in front of my house. It's an ongoing thing. And it's tough when you live in a residential neighborhood where you can only park on one side of the street, and you have neighbors that park in front of your house. As I said, next door is a five-family dwell, two-car drive. That's all right.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mullen.
And like I said, business is business. I wish them well. I'm not against this business. I'm just concerned about the problem. Also, my other concern is, a year down the line, this becomes a very busy restaurant. What does that do? The impact on real estate in that neighborhood? It's a consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Any comments? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No, it's okay. No. You want to write next to him, right? I think we should go first, and then I'll talk
after. Certainly.
Aaron Bedell again. See, to my right is Jean Martin. She's 89 years old and lives at 73 Center Avenue. She has lived there for more than 50 years, and the proposed outdoor dining abuts her driveway. And one of the things we've been talking about and getting ready for this is that while she has not had any issues with the noise of the restaurant and things of the like, I don't think you need the Class D variance because it does have a substantial detriment to the public good, and I think the planning board member hit the nail on the head. This particular site, he has outgrown it. Within your town, you have HBD, CBD, MR, HB, WB zones that are suitable for this use. This is an R1 residential zone where bringing people, I mean, by his estimate, 150 people during the daytime under current use on a weekend into a residential use next door to someone with outdoor dining. I mean, imagine having a barbecue next to you every single night from March through the end of October. It interrupts sleeping hours. It interrupts the ability for Ms. Martin to have friends and family over owing to the parking that I'm sure many other people in this audience are probably going to address with you. But he, you know, D-variants are exceptions. They're not the rule. This doesn't inherently serve the public good. It is a purely financial impact for this individual who, by all accounts, even for the board, the food is good. Everyone wants them to succeed, but this is not the location in a residential neighborhood for him to continue dining into the evening hours. And I'd like to comment on the parking application again. With all due respect to council, talking about Holy Week, the application for parking and the contract expires in May. This variance was initially submitted last May. There certainly was time between May of 2020 and Holy Week of 2020, or I'm sorry, May of 2022 and Holy Week of 2023 to secure an appropriate parking contract that would have addressed these concerns, especially as planning board member stated, that it basically is an at-will contract for the church. I just don't think there's enough here to overcome the negative criteria, but it's a detriment to the public good, especially individuals who have been in Atlantic Highlands for many years, have made this their home, have raised their children here, have stayed, and are continuing to live their life. There's just not enough support to grant this exception to allow dining to, I mean, even tonight, it's, oh, well, you were right about the parking. We'll backtrack the hours till now a 7 o'clock service. You know, everything is a yes, we'll promise this, we'll promise that. But what about when the noise nuisance complaints come in? He says, okay, I'll put up lights. I didn't see any lighting plan that's going to probably demonstrate that it's not going to impede on her property. It's just yes, 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 but this all could have been in the plan and examined when I came down to the planning board earlier this week to make sure and inspect the application on behalf of my client. There's just not enough here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Andy, cool. 41 3rd Avenue here in Atlantic Highlands.
Let me swear your name, please. Raise your right hand and be sworn.
Thank you.
You either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding would be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes.
And could you spell your last name, please?
It's Andy, A-N-D-Y, last name Clurfeld, C-L-U-R, F as in Frank, E-L-D as in David.
Go ahead.
I come here to really support what Emilio and Judith Vicens are doing, and it's probably because I'm a restaurant critic and have been in this state for more than 30 years, and this is a very different restaurant in Atlantic Highlands that kind of matches the spirit of this community. It's a family restaurant. It's not a club, it's not a scene. It's a place where I've walked to any number of times from my home on 3rd Avenue without, you know, danger or feeling as though I needed more lighting or anything. But to meet other people in this community, I would agree with the assertion that both the attorney and the applicant made, that this is such a community restaurant. I could go in on at length about how great the food is there and how happy I am to have this kind of food. But I will tell you that this is not a place where people congregate for I don't know, to make noise or to have anything but quiet conversation over dinner. I have been so impressed with the sincerity of the place, places where you can come to talk about town issues, which I have done there. I think this family, Judith, Emilio, and his family, the people who live upstairs, are a true old-fashioned mom-and-pop operation. I have seen that firsthand. I think they're looking to provide dinner for people who have asked, and I'm bluntly one of them. I would love to be able to go there at 5, 6, 7 o'clock and have a dinner meal there to see what can be done. I think the fact that this family has also initiated solving problems before they occur by virtue of the parking, by virtue of making sure there are trees there, by virtue of saying 8 o'clock over and out, that's last service, that's fundamentally the last call for ordering food, is saying they're not looking to have partying there at 9, 10 o'clock. I can hear from my home on 3rd Avenue the people who congregate outside Nicholas, the creamery, the the ice creamery there. I can hear that, you know, after the movies, people getting ice cream. I can hear that from my home. The fact that this gentleman is saying 8 o'clock over and out, I think is his way of extending the courtesy to the neighborhood. I want to support his application for this variance because I really do think it's good for the town. I think it's good for our culinary economy in this town, which always seeps over into benefiting other businesses. I've walked past your house every time I've walked there. I think it's the most adorable house. I really do. And I was, after I learned of this application, thinking to myself, how would you feel? And I am glad you're here tonight to express it. My suggestion would be, if it does impede against your sleeping hours, and right now it's past my bedtime, express that as well, I would hope that the same kind of consideration Emilio and Judith have extended to everyone who comes to his restaurant and the way he's thought about how to proceed with it, I would hope he would address whatever issues you might have should there be noise and cut back on certain nights or whatever. I just see him as a human being, he and his wife, who would do that. But I do want to express my support for this because I just think the overall good is really a positive for this town, and that I have a belief, seeing how we operate his existing restaurant, and if there's a problem, he's going to want to fix it because he wants to be a good member of this community. He adheres to hospitality. So thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate all the questions that you all asked. I learned a lot from them myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes. Now you can come forward.
Deborah Murray, 12 Prospect Circle. Is there anything to be out?
Let me swear you in.
Sorry.
And you just swear or affirm that the testimony you give in connection with this proceeding would be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. Is there going to be alcohol served or bring your own BYOB? Anyone? No?
Okay. Answer that question.
No alcohol. So the analogy between the Chubby Pickle and St. Agnes parking are the whole different. I don't think you can compare. And since when does 8 o'clock at night, 8 to 9, you pull the sidewalks in town? I never heard of such a thing. I live up on Prospect Circle, no sidewalks. And there are people up there all the time walking around. All through the night, sometimes at 10 o'clock at night to see the view. So walking from his restaurant to St. Agnes, I don't know what the big deal with that is. I guess I'm not allowed to ask this question. So anyway, I've been in this restaurant. It's always been quiet. The food is delicious. Everyone has conversations at their table, and I don't see it being a very loud restaurant. That's it.
Thank you very much. Smith.
My name is Laura Mason.
You either swear or affirm that any testimony given connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I live directly on the side of Zoe's, on 7th Avenue, nothing big. They are the most beautiful people. When I tell you they want to clean up, I've lived there for 12 years, and the restaurants that have been there have been, I have to say, besides what Grace and Lamont, a mess. Boxes in my property, on my property. I have a garden that I take care of, and they've never cleaned it up. This gentleman right here is everything wrapped up, put in his place. If there was an issue and I came to him, he takes care of it. He's not going to take advantage. He's going to keep it clean. I see it. He's been there with the restaurant for a year now. I am the one who went to his wife and said that they should take it over. Okay? Sorry. I don't know who intends it, but I love them. And they have been there forever. I think they should have a chance. I appreciate everybody's suggestions. I really do, and I understand what you're stating about the walk-in at night. And before they came in, I've almost gotten hit there, okay? But I just don't think that the restaurant is going to make a big difference with that. I really don't. Maybe to help out, maybe if you guys are going to, you know, I don't want to see him knocked down. I really don't. I have to handle parking there myself, but I'm willing to give that for them. I am. I really am. But even if you guys decide that you don't want to do it or you think about just giving green lights at least, that's one of my suggestions. At least let them start off with that. Don't just knock it down fully. Give them a chance. Maybe like, listen, when I was younger, I was a waitress. Monday, Tuesday nights, horrible. Okay, Sunday nights, horrible. Busy nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay? Give them that. Let them try it. Let us all try it out. I think that's a pretty good suggestion. Right? And then let them file again. Just don't knock it down. Knock it down.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Do we have any on Zoom? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Fisher.
Mark Fisher,
91 3rd
Avenue.
Mr. Fisher, let me swear you in, please. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding will be the truth? The whole truth is nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Proceed.
First of all, I think Mr. and Mrs. Vincennes have gone way out of their way with this application. They realized there were some shortcomings in parking. They took care of that. They got the agreement with the church. Unfortunately, they're not on 1st Avenue. They're not afforded the luxury of having a 120 parking space parking lot, you know, in their backyard, although it is close in addition to St. Agnes. But they did go out of their way to make arrangements for that. I found it interesting that Mr. Kenny said that there was no existing written rule that says they can't operate at night. But again, Mr. Vincennes has gone out of his way to make this presentation, make the application for a change. But really, there is no rule that says he can't do it already. I found that very interesting. There seems to be no issues with deliveries early in the morning. That's also the time that the borough picks up garbage. And I never hear the borough getting complained at about garbage pickup. And obviously, the deliveries aren't an issue. It sounds like overall there isn't an overarching issue with this business with the neighbors. Mr. Moen's issue with The parking in that area is pre-existing conditions. I can tell you, I was the chairman of the parking committee for this town for 3 years. The committee never got any complaints about the area around Mr. Vincenzo's restaurant in that time. Not to say there isn't problems, but they were never made aware to the committee. I agree that a lot of people will love to have the opportunity, you know, local neighbors to walk to get dinner, but I would also imagine there's going to be a big takeout business with this restaurant open for dinner. So takeout doesn't necessarily mean you need parking spaces. It's just a quick stop, pick up, and leave, like most of the other restaurants in this town. I believe the board should approve this application. I think Mr. Vincenzo and Mrs. Vincenzo should have this opportunity to continue to be good neighbors and good business people in this town. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is Megan Riley and Matt Carroll from 62 Avenue G. Go ahead.
Yes, please raise your right hand before. Can we see if you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection to this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And once again, just state your names for the record.
Megan Riley and Matt Carroll at 62 Avenue G.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so I think on the parking point, it seems like, as Amelia said, most of the people that go to the restaurant are Atlantic Highlands residents. I think for the most part, we would all be good neighbors to everyone else if we're concerned about people being noisy or whatnot going to and from the restaurant from the parking places. I think, first of all, we just want to say that we're in support of this. It seems like a really good opportunity to support locally owned, successful, small Atlantic Highlands business. It may be in maybe an unconventional area as opposed to the rest of the businesses we have on First Ave, but it's 2 blocks away. We live 2 blocks away, we walk there all the time, and it doesn't seem like a few additional parking spaces at night would really be a reason to prohibit these guys having dinner and, I don't know, kind of expanding the business profile of Atlantic Highlands over towards the side. So we think it's a good idea and we're in support.
Yeah, we just wanted to say we think it's a really welcome addition to our side of the neighborhood off of First Avenue, and that we definitely support him being able to expand his hours.
That's great. Thank you very much. Is that the only hand raised in the Zoom?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, board discussion.
I think there's an opportunity maybe to stop serving outside at sunset to eliminate some of the lighting issues and some of the noise issues. Maybe there could be a limited to daylight.
Yeah. Daylight in the summer is 9 o'clock.
They're not going to even be open.
But
it would eliminate a lot of the lighting concerns, the noise concerns. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the provision of kind of like the screening for trash receptacles and whatnot. Because there will be more trash if there's more complete. So that's a real matter of point.
The points that have been raised about, you know, saying yes, 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 yes. And that's the reason we're here. He's agreeing to do this stuff, or else he can't have the variance. The complaints that might come in after everything goes through, then they get dealt with like every other business in town gets dealt with if they don't comply. So I don't think there's, you can't just make a promise here and then decide not to do it just because you got the variance. So you still have to follow the rule regardless. So as long as everything goes as it should, and it would be fine, but if not, it'll be dealt with code enforcement and however else it might work through the rest of the town, so. It's not his fault that there's a 5-unit complex next to him with no parking. That shouldn't be on him. So, I mean, that's already approved, that's in. The impact will be much greater because it's at night, same amount of customers, if not less. So, I think it's a good thing.
I think a similar situation to, I know it's not like Collins, but the Big Red store, they started doing some dining at night, also reservation only. They've seemed to be able to do that in a neighborhood setting without any type of complaints. I think it's a very similar type environment. So I think Emilio's would benefit the same way that they have.
They do have a little bit of off-street parking there, and they do not have an outdoor component. The outdoor component is a little bit troublesome for me.
Simple for me. First Avenue is designed for outside dining. The sidewalks are appropriate for people walking both directions. There's plenty of lighting. People are aware that people are walking around at night. You're aware people are out there, okay? What you're doing is you're bringing nighttime dining into a residential area. People are not going to be aware driving on Center Avenue. This is a big concern of mine. Center Avenue is by far a safe road, okay? So now you have these 9 houses, all right? What condition are our sidewalks in? Now, they're responsible for maintaining their sidewalks for his patrons, okay? I don't know the condition of them, but a lot of areas, the sidewalks are not maintained too well. Okay, so you have 2 groups of people walking by. One group walking this one, one group walking this the other way. The other group's going to go out in the road, okay? Everybody knows Center Avenue. You ride the curb, okay? My opinion, it's dangerous to have that nighttime mentality in the residential area, if we could avoid it. I think it's unsafe, okay? I think Center Avenue is a very unsafe road. I don't know the condition of sidewalks. I think people are going to be crossing, and that's why I'm saying, that's why First Avenue is First Avenue. It's designed for nighttime dining. Center Avenue is not designed. I know he's a nice guy. I've been there plenty of times. You can't, but it's not working. The residential people invested in that neighborhood, okay? They're there. He has the opportunity to move. It might well that he might do so well and know the year and move. He has the opportunity to move. The homeowners don't have the opportunity to move. The residents should have the opportunity when they come home to be able to park near their house. We're creating a situation that they never experienced before. And I don't think that's fair to the residents. Okay? I don't think this application is fair to the residents. I know they all like them, but this is probably going to be a popular nighttime restaurant. It belongs on First Avenue. First Avenue is designed for nighttime dining. Center Avenue is not. Plain and simple, easy for me.
I think all but the last 5 patrons in the place will probably be in the daylight. There's not much.
Well, you got all winter too. Listen, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
People don't walk.
So the inside dining again is you're maxed out at 38. Is that correct? Right. And the outside, as it stands now, is 30. Is that correct?
Correct.
You know, you just think about having 30 people having normal conversations all at the same time. Now, I understand that the only neighbor that it affects is the neighbor that's right next door. That's pretty big impact. You know, if you live across the street, or a couple of doors away, or a block away, that doesn't impact you. If you live right next door, it's a big impact.
I mean, I think it's a fair point.
Would it be advisable for, or would you be willing to limit it to dinner only indoors? I mean, I know that hurts a lot of the business because most people want to dine outdoors during the summer hours. You know, it's nice to have
That's why I was kind of thinking about limiting it to daylight time.
Or the weekend, maybe even?
Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah.
And the parking situation, I mean, with the walk-in, as you see, Agnes and Joe's, I'm sorry, Mr. Cockenberg's point, you know, would be, I know, again, it would be at the expense of the business owner to hire someone that could be valet parking possibly and something along those lines.
Yeah,
to move the cars and, you know, take people's cars and maybe to a different location. I'm not saying parking them on the public street, but taking them to the lot.
You're putting a lot of responsibility. They don't realize it, but you're putting a lot of responsibility on the residents from them getting from St. Agnes to the diner. They have to get out there and make sure their sidewalks.
Yeah, but they would anyway, right?
But they have to make, what if they don't get home at a certain time? They have to make sure it's done for his operation hours. Okay, there's nobody walking there now. They're liable for that. So they're actually maintaining the sidewalk for his property.
But your wife is doing it during the day anyway.
Exactly. Like, I won't pass there.
This is just additional 3 hours. So they're maintaining it for the rest of the day.
You're talking about the winter time, too.
Yeah, I understand that. But, we're also not talking about 38 people going to and from the restaurant at the same time. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, if the capacity were that much bigger, I think that would be more of a concern. But for me, you're talking about twos, threes, and fours leaving intermittently.
Dining?
I'm sorry?
Nighttime dining.
No, but I mean, I've walked my dog there at night. Like,
okay, it's,
you know, it's
nighttime dining.
You know.
I'm saying First Avenue is designed for nighttime dining. Center Avenue isn't. It's not. It doesn't matter. It's nighttime dining.
But to be fair, it's also not designed for daytime dining either. Like, I'm not trying to... But
it's
like,
a different. It's a. It's.
That's the reason.
I feel when I go out to breakfast and lunch, I'm in a different atmosphere. I'm in a different mood. When I'm going out to dinner, I'm more lively. You're going out with friends. You're talking. You might have a few drinks. You know. You know what I'm saying? It's different. It's totally different.
No, please.
Excuse me. There's so much noise here. Would people please be quiet so we can hear?
Mr. Romeyer, I have a question.
You're making a lot of residents responsible. They don't realize it, but they're responsible for him, that whole sidewalk. I don't know. Some people might have to redo those sidewalks now if it's not maintained.
But they would anyway. Do you know what I mean?
I understand it.
But my point is that it's the restaurant exists now in an R1 zone, right? That doesn't, like, they're not.
If I was a resident, I wouldn't want the liability of another.
Mr. Romeyer, I have a question. Is there an existing stipulation that negates the use during nighttime hours right now for the restaurant?
That's a better question for me.
I didn't know if there was like a zoning requirement or.
Well, the requirement is that this is not a permitted use in the zone.
Correct.
So it's a pre-existing use.
Correct.
And now they are expanding the non-conformity. When you expand a non-conforming use, it requires a use variance.
So there was no existing.
Well, they would have to demonstrate that there was an existing use for nighttime use of that property, predating our current zoning.
Okay.
And it's been done here.
Okay.
My guess is finding virtually impossible to find the history to establish that.
I was just asking, like, historically, has this ever been used in a nighttime setting?
There's a provision, 4055D68, that says if you had a pre-existing non-conforming use, you're allowed to continue it, and you can ask for a certificate of approval saying, this is my non-conforming use. But you have to prove what that use was at that date before the zoning that prohibits it came into effect.
Understood.
So you have to go back a long time, you have to recreate history. I've been in situations to try and do it. It's an extremely difficult task.
So as of like recent history, that's not been used in a dining setting?
I mean, it was used as a restaurant. I don't know if it was nighttime dining. And I had looked, and I like I said, I submitted an OPA request asking for any prior approvals, and I did speak with the zoning officer. I'm not aware of where that condition generated from. It would answer a lot of questions, but I don't know. And that doesn't mean that there's not something somewhere in some borough file, but, you know, we didn't locate it.
So what if we just eliminate the outdoor component? That minimizes the parking impact. It minimizes noise.
I don't know if that would be, like, super fair to do their business.
At nighttime?
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, there's no outdoor dining at nighttime.
Right.
It would be limited to indoors, so that would limit a lot of parking concerns, noise concerns, safety concerns of walking or tripping in the outdoor spot.
I mean, I would think that if somebody who wants to patronize the restaurant is going out at night, they have to take those things into their own hands. You know, I'm going to walk on the street. I'm going to be responsible for myself. I'm going to go to dinner. If not, I would encourage people to maybe stay home. And now
I'm talking just for the outdoor patio area,
right?
Because it's a gravel area.
Yeah. But I did. Sorry, I didn't want to jump onto your spot. I'm just going to.
Proposing that to everybody is like if that would be a condition that people would feel comfortable with.
Joe, would that change your view in any way?
I honestly don't believe Center Avenue is a safe road for people to walk in at night. I think there's going to be situations where people are going to be pushed out into the street.
Everybody's going to push out into the street on the sidewalk.
If you have two groups walking on that sidewalk, one's going to get pushed out into the street. Center Avenue is a very dangerous.
I think two people could walk past each other on the sidewalk.
I'm not saying two people, I'm saying a group, two groups of four.
Two single lines, I'm pretty sure they can figure it out.
For what it's worth with the parking situation too, I just looked real quick on Google Maps and did a walking whatever thing. It's 4 minutes to St. Agnes lot, and it's 4 minutes to walk to the municipal lot, you know, the municipal lot. So it's pretty equidistant. I think it would be great if, you know, on a website, when people make reservations, there could be, you know, hey, there's public parking here, there's also parking at the St. Agnes lot, try not to park on the street or something. I don't know, you know, to your point, Mr. Taco, I think a lot of the sidewalks throughout town are unsafe, they're in lousy condition, lighting is terrible.
Right.
But that's throughout the entire town, that's even on First Ave. I think First Ave
is a good place. First Avenue is maintained, well lit. The sidewalks are nice and even. It's designed that way. It's designed for that type of activity. Center Avenue is not. It's a very dangerous road. And that's a long walk for people.
I think point made. I think we understand.
Mr. Kennedy, before we call for motion, would you or your client consider making an amendment to your application to say that we would only have indoor dining or limit in some way the outdoor dining?
Sure. If I may respectfully, hopefully you're going to be taking a bathroom break, and if I could have 5-7 minutes just to speak to my client about just some of the comments that we've heard. Okay. I mean, I guess if
that's reasonable.
Close the public portion and then do that. And could I just ask one question that when you were talking about, I know, and I appreciate all the comments, was it, Mr. Kropinski, eliminate nighttime dining or just eliminate
outdoors?
Right. But would that be outdoor dining during the day allowed?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. So I know
evening.
Got it. So we heard a lot of things, so I could have maybe just a few moments to speak with my client outside of the harsh glare of the bright lights.
Very good. Let's reconvene then at 10 after 9.
Thank you.
Just waiting for Mr. Takamoto to come back.
Trip
with dollars.
We're not really in session right now, anyways.
That's impossible. It's First Avenue.
Mr. Kenny, we're also still waiting for Mr. Cackler. Oh, okay. So we're in no big rush.
But what I've found to say, let's start without him.
It would probably be wise.
Okay, sure.
All right, before we begin again, we still have two other applications after this. We're gonna have a soft cutoff around 10:30, so hopefully we'll be able to get both of us in as well. So, with that, Mr. Kennedy?
Sure. Thank you for allowing us to take the time here to analyze it. And just real brief, a couple real thoughts. I appreciate the concerns, the wide-ranging concerns of the people on the board and the people in the public. My client is very concerned about the residential neighbors, and he is concerned about any potentially adverse impact, and that is why he has been very accommodating. I think people in who are against the application suggested that, hey, it's not so great that you say yes, or it's not so great that you had an agreement with the church, or it's a sign of weakness that you said yes to accommodate. I totally disagree with that. I think that shows how committed to the project my client is, and I think that in the planning and zoning world, when you have applicants who are willing to say yes to ideas brought about by the board members of the public, I think that's a good thing. I also think it's a good thing that my client affirmatively sought to go out and resolve issues before and let's be realistic, he attempted to address issues that he knew were going to come up here, landscaping and parking, and so that's a good thing. I think when Mr. Rohrmeier suggested, hey, you're going to have more garbage, I think you should shield the garbage area, and my client immediately said, yes, that's not a problem, and I think that's a good thing. Anyway, and regardless of what happens tonight, we are always have and always will have and will continue to have an open door policy with regard to our neighbors. I do, with all due respect to my good friend Mr. Kakamo, I don't necessarily believe that there's liability created because of someone taking their sidewalk or not maintaining it. I think everyone has an obligation to maintain it, whether we exist or not, whether we expand or not. But that's totally, you know, I totally appreciate your position. And regardless of the outcome, we want all of you who are existing customers to continue to be existing customers. And for those who are in the room tonight and or listening to via this hearing via Zoom and have not been at the restaurant, we want you to come. We want you. We are what Atlantic Highlands needs and wants. So now, with regard to this application and the specific request regard to outdoor dining, so number one, there was some comments from the public, and my clients seemed to think that there was some prior outdoor dining associated, nighttime dining associated with the element, with the restaurant. But what we are willing to do, because my client is a good guy and my client does want to accommodate, I would respectfully like to withdraw the aspect of the application dealing with the outside dining. And I want to withdraw that because I want to specifically reserve our right to bring that application again in the future. That doesn't mean we will, maybe we will, maybe we won't, but I don't want to have that issue foreclosed upon us. And as you know, if that application were denied, that part of it, we can never bring that part of the application again unless it was substantially different. So I would respectfully request to withdraw that portion of the application dealing with the outside dining and leave everything else, knowing that we reserve our right to bring that again in the future upon a notice to an application, and maybe we can find more application and more information and things like that. So, Mr. Chairman, with the conditions that we noted tonight, in addition to the condition I just said, and for the record, Emilio,
You just heard that I said that based upon our conversation and based upon the conversations of the board members that we are withdrawing that part of the application dealing with the outside dining. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay, and you're okay with me to present this to the board?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I thank the board and would respectfully request approval.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kennedy.
Is the board satisfied with the withdrawal request? Satisfied to allow the withdrawal of that portion of the application?
Now, that's just for the cutoff at 4 p.m. for outdoor dining? It still exists. It doesn't get the extension.
It's just the extended. We're correct.
Well, no problem. We're eating at 4 o'clock and they're not done. We have to call them in?
It's just dining services.
Okay.
He's going to be continuing his daytime operations as he has done. He's not asking for any change in that. He's only asking for evening dining.
Mr. Romero, with the no outdoor portion there, what would that change for the parking requirements?
Back to 22, I think.
According to our ordinance, the outdoor dining section at 341 square feet triggers the need for 7 parking stalls.
So it's minimized by 7.
Right.
Thank you.
Upon hearing from Mr. Kennedy there, is there anybody want to add anything to our discussion before we call for a motion? Can we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
And those, the motion and second are subject to all the conditions that we previously discussed this evening with the applicant.
And we acknowledge that.
Okay.
So we need a vote.
You need a vote.
Yep.
Need a roll call.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Kakamo?
No.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
And Chair McColdrick?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. I know you have a big agenda. I apologize to the people who are waiting, and I thank you.
Hey, John.
Oh, sorry.
Want my book?
Well, I hope you're not going to be too long on the next one. Really?
Wait, do you need this stuff?
Oh, no.
Move it out of the way.
No, I just was anticipating some questions and discussions. So what did that have?
What are we doing now? Now we're doing the...
We're doing it
first
step.
So how does this all get screwed up?
Call to order, please. Our next item tonight is PB 22-25, the Atlantic House, block 115, lot 7, 67 First Avenue, minor site plan.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed service in connection with the application services in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the case. I'm also aware of the following exhibits that the board has received in connection with the application. They include Exhibit A1. It's the zoning review from your zoning officer, Michelle Clark. That's dated July 18, 2022. Exhibit A2 is an application for variance of Crocker Enterprises, LLC. That's dated November 16, 2022 with checklist. Exhibit A3 is a survey prepared by Thomas Craig Finnegan. That's dated December 13, 2017. Exhibit A4 is a roof deck alteration plan prepared by Mode Design. That's dated April 8, 2022. And Exhibit A5 is a review number 1 from your engineer, CME Associates. That's dated January 27, 2023. And counsel is
here representing the applicant.
Yes,
Mr. Stone. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Richard Stone. My law firm is Stone Mandia. Tonight, I'm privileged to represent the Atlantic House that is technically Crocker Enterprises LLC. Mr. Stein, adequately the format, and for your benefit, I'm going to try to be uncharacteristically brief in my presentation. The purpose of doing that, I'm going to just make a comment. Because of COVID, it's been a long time since I've been out and about, particularly in your municipality, and I came early tonight to walk up and down your business district, and it's hard not to be impressed by what I would call upscale First Avenue, as was explained, all of the restaurants and all of the activity. It's quite something to see. And with the absence of COVID, I hope that all of these businesses are successful. With that said, the application is very straightforward. I'm hoping that most of you know the Atlantic House. I'm sure you do. It's in the center of town. It's a beautiful establishment. But in the last approval process, apparently my partner, who appeared before the board, got an approval, and it was absent a small section on the second floor that was seeking an enclosure. And I think the best way to present that would have the architect who designed the facility, let him, where is he?
Okay. Oh.
Why don't you come up here? Can you swear in, Mr. Contour?
Sir, raise your right hand, please. You either swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And state your name and address, please.
My name is Daniel Contour, owner of Boat Architects, located at 621 Lake Avenue, Asbury Park, New Jersey.
And please spell the last name for the record, please. Yep.
Contore.
Great. Thank you.
I'm not sure, but I believe that Mr. Condator was qualified before, but if not, I will present his qualifications.
That was the original.
Yeah. Did you testify at the prior proceeding?
Yes. Yeah.
And your credentials were accepted, and you licenses are still in good standing?
Yes.
Not having changed?
Sure.
Anyone from the board have any objection?
No. Dan, why don't you explain what the earlier approval was all about and what the proposed plan is now? And after you finish that part of your presentation, I'm going to ask you to take a look at the engineering report of CME and go through that list of items that were raised various questions. Huh?
Absolutely. I mean, overall, the operation, the square footage, the occupancy, everything is remaining exactly the same. Originally, when we came to the board and we presented the architecture in the building, working with Rich, the owner, we wanted to have a small little area of outdoor dining that was open to the sky. We thought that would be a great feature. Rich has been operating it for about two years or a year and a half since then. And the use of the space is not really working out the way it tended to be. We felt that it would be a better fit to just extend the architecture that's currently there and enclose that area with the same type of folding doors, the same type of roof, to give you more flexibility. Because when you're on that second floor, the bar is a nice area, but the table area does get a little bit tighter and provide more flexibility. Maybe if you want to have a larger dinner, put tables together, it doesn't really have that space up there for that. So the idea was to enclose it. So, from a functioning standpoint, as far as building code, egress, everything remains the same. We're just putting a roof. The steel is actually, or yep, as everybody knows. So we're going to put a roof on the existing steel, the same folding doors that we have previously. We're going to buy new doors and just open up and continue the space. So
maybe you should show them the architectural plans.
Yeah, so right now, if you look at the plan here, here's the existing lounge, second floor bar area. The bar is here. This is that existing stair tower that faces the street. And then on the corner of the street, on center, is the approximately 200 square foot of outdoor area. So we're just proposing to extend that roof down, add the new folding doors, exactly the same that we have over there, infill that area. And then part of my submission was just the elevation, so you can see
We're just going to continue the rhythm, the same materials, that the metal panels that are above are going to continue above and wrap the corner. So architecturally, I mean, I think it's going to feel exactly the way it does now. I'll just give a little more flexibility in the space, and in the winter time have more space available for night.
Okay. Can you take a look at page 4 of the engineer's report?
Sure.
Because there's some questions raised in there. Yeah. I am correct that this is in the HBD zone. Which was the zone that was presented the last time we were before the board, right? But there's some questions here that were asked. For example, the hours of operation. I'm told by Mr. Crocker that rarely does it stay open beyond 11 o'clock. You understand that?
Yeah.
Is it correct? That's what exactly what we testified to before, right? And it was testified too that there were between 8 and 10 employees. Mm-hmm. That remains the same.
Yes,
right. And as far as the deliveries, that's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just making a little bit of and the trash on site also camouflage as it was before. There was a question raised about the basement. No change there.
Yeah, there is an existing basement. They use it for prep and storage. That remains the same.
And as far as the parking, I can tell that the successful businesses in town deal primarily with the municipal parking facility, which is pretty close by to the facility itself.
Yes, right.
And no change in the signage?
No change, no additional signage.
And that's essentially the application.
Yeah, there's just one note that was in here, and it was a discrepancy, because actually it was copied from when we redid the drawing. This got left over on the plan on accident. So, and it's related to the request for a variance. There shouldn't be any request for a variance. There is no expansion of the building. I remember, if you remember correctly, in the original application, we had these, where we had the cedar siding, it impeded on the sidewalk, and we had an easement request to have that additional. It says it's proposed, it's actually existing, so that's just a mistake on the plan.
Okay.
And with that, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Stive, members of the board, that's our application. Mr. Crocker is here in case you want to field any questions. He'll be happy to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Stump. Questions from the board?
I do have a question. Aesthetically, it'll match what is existing, so it'll be like.
Yes.
Same color scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, same
material. Mm-hmm. You may have already said this, so excuse me. So, how many additional people may be in the restaurant because of this at one time?
There's no additional people because it's currently seating now. It just provides better flexibility because it's one open space.
Okay.
But the occupant list does not change.
Okay.
Any questions from our audience?
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Go on. Yes, of course.
Just as far, you're adding a roof to that section. Is there any issues with the drainage?
No, it'll just, there's a
does cutter. It change at all?
No, nothing changes. Just ties into the existing system.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions from our audience? Any comments? Do we have any on Zoom?
No, we do not.
All right, so with that, board discussion.
Much change in use or anything
like that, so I think it's just
going to have more
restaurant
capability
for
them to
do more business.
Yeah,
this absolutely seems like a very straightforward application. Gives an important business.
I was here for the original application, and I remember thinking, like, wow. Outdoor dining is pretty cool, but I think we've been in there enough times that like you just can't be out there. You know what I mean? And it is, you know, having worked in the industry, you know, in my prior life, that's money out the door. You know what I mean? It's I don't know, the same.
And when those doors are open on the second deck, it's like you're outside anyway. Yeah. So yeah.
Will this work increase the beer prices?
I should have asked that, yeah.
Make a motion to approve.
Wait a second.
So that was Mr. Jasko.
Mr. Krupinski.
Krupinski.
Motions. And who seconded it? Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Holly?
Yes.
Mr. Cockamo?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kapinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
And Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
And Chairman Coltrick?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck.
Good to see you, Richard. I hope you have a good one.
Thank you, Stone. He's in 200 feet. Yep. Mr. Curtis and Mr. Cockamo are recusing themselves for this application, which is PB22-23, Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club, Block 7, Lot 5.03, 6 Simon Lake Drive. Application for minor site plan, which was carried from the March 2nd meeting.
Mr. Chairman, we previously reviewed service and approved it and carried the application to this evening's meeting, so service is in order. The board has jurisdiction to hear the case. I'm aware of the following exhibits that the board has received in connection with the application. They include Exhibit A1, which is a zoning review from your zoning officer, Michelle Clark, that's dated October 20, 2022. Exhibit A2 is a variance application of the Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club that's dated October 17, 2022. Exhibit A3 is a graphic site plan prepared by C.J. Stone Architect that's dated November 7, 2022. Exhibit A4 are two photographs of the subject property with proposed exterior deck superimposed. Exhibit A5 is an elevation drawing of the proposed deck. Exhibit A6 is a proposed roof deck plan and a partial second floor extension plan prepared by C.J. Stone Architect that's dated February 20, 2021. Exhibit A7 is the review number 1 from your engineer CME Associates that's dated December 28, 2022. Exhibit A8 is a letter from the Atlantic Highlands Harbor Commission that's dated February 17, 2023. And Exhibit A9 is an affidavit of ownership and application authorization dated October 14, 2022. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of that the board has received thus far in connection with the application, and Mr. Nelson is here on behalf of the applicant.
Thank you, Council and Chair and Board. Brian Nelson of the Spiro Harrison and Nelson Law Firm representing the Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club. Just by way of quick background, while Mr. Stone sets up, Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club is a longstanding tenant of the Harbor Commission within the property owned by the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, located upon Block 7, Lot 5, 6 Simon Lake Drive. Property consists of longstanding pre-existing use within the Marine Recreation Zone, MR Zone, and the Yacht Club has made a minor site plan application to construct an outdoor deck area consisting of approximately 1,800 square feet over the existing roof of the Shore Casino, and may require some minor variance relief, which we'll get into in greater detail shortly. While it's a somewhat unique situation because this is a borough property, while being paid for by this application and improvements are being paid for by the Yacht Club's membership, those improvements are all on borough property and eventually will inure to the benefit of the borough. Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club not only leases the facility above the Shore Casino, but it leases dock space, yard space throughout through the Harbor Commission, and its membership leases hundreds of moorings and slips in the harbor. The membership, just by way of background, consists of 115 borough residents and another 130 Monmouth County residents, which contribute in excess of $610,000 a year to the borough directly. Just to address a couple of housekeeping items that Mr. Stein touched upon, the Yacht Club has received a letter of support from the Harbor Commission as well as consent to the borough, which was cited as Exhibit A8 and A9. This is a public property. If the borough were the applicant, this would merely be a courtesy review, but rather than seek the borough making an application on behalf of the Yacht Club as if it were fit-up work, the Yacht Club is doing this at our own expense. Tonight with me I have Christopher Stone, who will be providing testimony on behalf of the yacht club. May I qualify, Mr. Stone?
Sir, raise your right hand and be sworn. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And state your name and address, please.
Christopher Stone, 8 Gary Ford Drive, Middletown, New Jersey.
And Mr. Stone, you're a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey?
I am.
Are you a licensed architect for how many years?
Over 20 years.
Okay, and are you a licensed architect in any other states as well?
Yes, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New York, and Vermont.
And how long have you been in the design and construction business even prior to your licensing?
Let's see, 40 years.
Okay. You're the individual who prepared the club's application and associated submissions therewith?
I am.
Okay. May I qualify, Mr. Stone?
Anyone on the board have any questions? He's accepted as an architect.
I'm going to ask Mr. Stone to testify and also add that he's also a former Commodore of the club. So in addition to his professional qualifications and having been the individual who prepared the plans we're presenting this evening, he can also discuss and answer any questions that the board or the public may have regarding the club's internal operations as well. First exhibit we have here, I believe, on the board is Exhibit A, 6, the plan for the roof deck. And if I can ask Mr. Stone to generally review the plans, the dimensions of the proposed roof deck on and its location.
Okay, this is our existing club here, and this face is north. Look this down in this particular plan, and there's an existing roof from the shore casino below out in front of the club. So right now we look out, there's several sliding doors here, and we look out over this roof that the shore casino operates under. This area of the roof to the west is at a slightly higher elevation, approximately 4 foot higher, and it's over there with the middle room and the ballroom, which exists to the west of our club. Under this particular area, called the galleon room, okay? Our proposal is to add a deck above the galleon room, not utilizing any of the existing structure of the existing roof, because the roof is inadequately designed to support any roof, any traffic, loading. So we would introduce two large trusses along here. If I go to the next exhibit real quick.
And this is the elevation exhibit, which I believe was exhibit A5.
Okay. So, I colored these in and actually made some print screen receipts tonight, so it could be a little clearer. I looked at it myself and said, looks like a bunch of black lines on a piece of paper. So I made it a little more clear. This is an elevation that you would see at deck level. In the blue, you denote the steel structure. Okay, so be a large, what we call a Vanderbeer truss, with a regular truss above it, kind of like a railroad truss. Think of it as a railroad truss. Okay, the lower drawing here is a section. It shows the vertical steel columns coming down into the ground and footings. This particular column would come down into the next to the wall in the existing entry hall at the first floor. This one would be just outside of the Excalibur room to the east, and we go down to the curb at that level. If you want me to distribute these so you can see at a closer.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
What, Mr. Stone, what's the total square footage of the proposed deck area?
The proposed deck, as in its final form here, is 1,872 square feet.
And does the proposal, including the what I call sun coverage area, does that all within the required height standards for the zone?
The proposed height is 31 foot to the top of the uppermost point of the truss. And coverage on the roof, the maximum submitted by code is cannot exceed 50% of coverage, and we're right around 8.5%, so we're well below that of the overall.
And Mr. Stone, how does so I think you testified that the structure does not rely upon any of the existing structure of the building, correct?
That's right. There's a approximately 73-foot span for this truss. Okay, which for a truss is not really a big deal. It's the railroad trestles everywhere. Over 73 feet, we'd expect approximately a 2-inch deflection. So we would design the truss with a camber built in so that when it was loaded up, it would deflect the level. We still have 2 inches below it. And one of the properties of this particular roof is the existing roof, which you see the dark line at the bottom. Okay, that's the existing roof line. It all pitches to the east. So if there's no roof drains on the roof at all, gravity pitches to a gutter along the east side. That would remain. Our roof would collect, just jumping aside to the water, we'd collect the water and we would pipe it along the roof over to a downspout. So we would handle the water that would still go to the same place, which would be handled through a pipe as opposed to just passing over the roof. So our roof, our floor would be above the roof below. We would never touch it. It would be designed that if there were additional deflection or movement, I would not touch it. A company called Construction Specialties manufactures essentially a bellows like flashing. And that would go from the side of our structure down to the existing roof, which we would replace as part of this process. Since we're going to own it anyway, we might as well own it brand new. So that bellows arrangement will allow for a substantial amount of movement without failure.
And with respect to the rooftop deck, would it have railings around the deck?
Yeah, there would be a railing around the full perimeter. Be a railing around the full perimeter, 48-inch height for the code in line of comments. In this particular area, there are some existing HVAC units for the Shore Casino. And this one is for the club here. So we proposed to put an 8-foot high fence barrier along here. Originally we were going to put 60, but we had some concerns from neighbors about noise. So we chose to raise that fence-like barrier up to 8 feet just as a physical blockage for any noise going to the south. We'll get into noise later, but anyway, so along this side, 4 foot, 4 foot, 4 foot, 4 foot, 4 foot, and 4 foot, and this should actually be facing that slightly higher roof on this side. And on this end, we would propose to put a roll down clear vinyl wind shade, because you can get some, you know, pretty strong breezes coming off the ocean on this side, so you don't need to.
And Mr. Stone, how is emergency egress addressed from the roof deck?
Currently we have an egress there on the east side here, a steel egress there, and right now to come out the doors and go across the walking path on the roof. We propose to elevate the roof in that area so that you walk on the same level. If someone's in a wheelchair, they could be wheeled along here. And then we propose also to replace that stair with the stair that would meet, you know, current standards. The existing stairway is inadequate there. So also there are some there's piping for some of the HVAC units along here. So that by raising this, we have it at the same level. Once we get over the pipes, which are here, we can slope it down a little, still meeting handicap requirements.
And the main point of entry would be from, would it be from within the clubhouse?
Right, the main point of entry would be from the dining training room here, existing, which is about 23.5 by 21 foot room. There's an existing stairway exit here that's like 4.5 foot wide, goes down to our egress to grade.
And would in your opinion, this this roof deck change the the parking needs for the club?
Good question. So, table 9.2 in the code indicates that a club is required to have one space per 100. The review said one per 50, which would be for a different type of use. So at least in my interpretation, it could be wrong, but it said clubs. So I went with that. Okay. But if we took it at 50, okay, this would... Okay. Yeah, if we took it at 50 spaces, it would require an additional 38 spaces for the deck. If we took it at 100, it would require 19 more spaces.
But would you anticipate the volume of club members increasing based on this improvement?
I think over a period of time, membership might increase a little bit, but membership is a fickle thing. It goes up and it goes down. So, it's hard to say. Can we have more members? Yes. Can we hold more members? Have we had more members in the past? Yes, we have. Right now, we have the Commodore's here, we have the
180.
About 180 members roughly right now. I think in the past, we were about 220 members freestanding after standing. We lost a few members.
Does the... about approximately, how would the tables and chairs be stored on the deck?
The first off, we would use chairs that were, I mean, or tables that are relatively heavy, so they're not going to be blowing away in the event that we're sailors. So in the event of a heavy storm coming, everything gets turned over, it's not going to blow away. As far as the chairs would all be stored against the building at night, and if necessary, they'd be tied back. Okay.
Okay. Let's see here. Can you pull up? Do you have this on the board? The,
I don't have that.
Okay. So we have exhibit number, but look at it. I'm just going to ask you some questions about the site plan, which is exhibit A3.
Everyone has the site plan.
Referenced by council as part of the application. So with respect to the site plan showing the overall site, which is owned by the borough, you prepared this exhibit?
I did.
Okay. What's the approximate distance from the proposed deck to the closest residential lot?
Well, to the residential lot to the deck itself is about 280 feet to the residential lot, and then the homes are set back about 100 foot from their northerly property line. So it'd be approximately 480 feet, something like that.
To the closest residential structure?
That's correct.
Okay. What is in the area surrounding the proposed deck, aside from parking lot? Anything?
A lot of parking lot. There's a directly behind the club, if you went. If you look at your site plan, if you go directly to the south, there's a used oil receptacle again, and a walkway that goes up along the side right here. A lot of people come down with their dog, walk their dog, etc. And then the tennis courts are right over here.
So, did you receive the letter from the board's engineer? Okay, let's go through that letter a little bit. In that letter in particular, there was attention drawn to the need for to address the issue with respect to the, I'll call the setback from the deck to the edge of the roof.
Yes.
Okay. With respect to that section, and I have it here if you need it, but I'm just going to ask you some questions regarding it if you're familiar with it. The letter states that according to the borough's code section 150-54.I6 governing the standards for roof decks, that there's a requirement of a setback of a minimum of 15 feet from the roof edge of the side of the building that's continuous to a public street or right-of-way, and then 5 feet from the edge of all other sides. Can you explain and outline kind of the distances from each side of the roof deck to the sides of the building here?
Okay, the 73-foot length of the deck here, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 primary sections of the truss. Three of those primary sections are 16 foot 2 inches go above the roof edge. There is one section, so it's 25% of that one face, is 7 foot 10, almost 8 foot off of that roof edge. This is where the driveway goes through, and if you look over here, this is where that the pretty rich area is, where the short casino. So it's not the main road, but it's kind of like a little side drive that goes in. So, and we pop this forward, we've got our flag staff plan to move out to that point, just so that when people come in and out, we've got an area like a convening area here, so that the dining tables can be moved in there and over here. Now on this side, on the east side, we're 13 inches off the edge of the roof there. Okay, this is the side where we're going to have, once again, a 48-inch height railing, which is required around the entire deck. Plus, we intend to have a roll-down vinyl wind curtain on that side.
Okay, so in your opinion and in your testimony, you just expressed that the one outcrop there is to allow access for people coming in and out of the doorway, let's say,
right.
So you don't have tables right up to the doorway, correct?
Right, this Popeye, that area allows us to have a, you know, a congregation area here, so the people, when they come in and out of the doors, that the tables can spill into here.
So is it your, you know, from so it's your opinion that that outcrop's necessary?
I think it's necessary. Also, the other thing is, just from an aesthetic standpoint, as opposed to having a straight line, right now we've got a big building that looks like a warehouse. Okay, so we're trying to make something aesthetically interesting, and you know, certainly having an outcrop here will draw some attention to that and give it more architectural visual interest.
Are there any, do you believe that there would be any negative impacts to surrounding properties by having the deck area extend within the 15-foot setback from the edge of the roof?
I don't believe that, you know, being in close proximity here would have any negative impacts. One of the reasons is, number one, is right now anyone up the hill is looking down at a black EPDM roof, and three 8 HVAC units here. There's another one over the corner here. So you're looking at a lot of mess up on the roof. You know, our intention is to put a fence along here so that you wouldn't see anything here from our side. One of the concerns about that I was I'm aware of is that there's some concern from neighbors up the hill about noise. Okay, so there was an earlier plan was submitted where this was like that and like that. We added this part because there's concern about what if you have entertainment out there. That's a very good question. So the club are not exactly a bunch of you know, party till 2 in the morning guys. Usually we're, nobody's there at 10 o'clock. It's going. Anyway, so I included an additional area here so that if we did have entertainment, we could put entertainment in that corner, and that the building itself would block the noise and would project the noise out to the north, as opposed to it, you know, that's if you set somebody up here, they'd be in direct line contact, even though we're planning a sound-absorbing pencil on that stuff. So that would be the intent there. So there was concern of noise, certainly
like 10 o'clock, we're open. We're watching.
Would you, Ms. Stone, consider the deviation with respect to the roof setback in any way impairing the purpose or the intent of the marine, of the marine, you know, recreation, of the marine recreation zone?
I don't see it have any impact on any functioning. There's no sidewalk here. This is side drive aisle. There's parking area out here. In fact, during COVID, the town and the harbor commissioner was kind enough to allow the club to utilize and close this driveway off. We had some outdoor dining and tables and some pop-up tents out there. It was a wonderful club for the town to allow us to do that, to at least keep the camaraderie of the club going.
Are you aware of any yacht clubs that don't have any outdoor space at all?
No. I don't know any.
With respect to noise impacts, which was one question raised in the engineer's letter, you touched upon it somewhat, you know, in which way between the distance and the way in which the layout would be on the deck, do you foresee there being any noise impacts on any adjoining residents or other uses?
Well, I think the noise ordinance says 40 or 50 decibels, which is quite talking. So if we're talking, it would be like that at the property line. And 80 decibels for, in fact, immediate kind of noise, like a drum beat or something like that. I don't anticipate us having a wild party out here. That's not what we do. And we did put this shielding, the building shielding, so the noise would all go to the north. My sister lives up on the hill there. She's like, well, we can hear on the deck. Right? So, yeah, they're over here. Who knows where the band is, but they're playing at, I don't know, 1 in the morning. Something. They play pretty late.
Is there any proposed permanent bar structure of any sort on the deck?
No. Yeah.
Would the, with respect to the structure itself, would the you testified that the two steel columns on the one side are going to go through the entryway into the club into that wall there, and then with respect to the beam on the east side of the building, where does that land precisely? Does it in any way affect the access way along the side of the building?
No, there's currently a curb that sticks out approximately 16 inches on that side. It's a fairly sizable concrete curb and then a small patch of concrete, not large enough for a walkway. And our columns are proposed to be 10 inches square. Okay, to be white flange columns, 10 by 10. And they would be tight up against the wall of the Excalibur room, and then they project below grade, and we have an offset footing projecting out under the parking, the accessway. And it would be all buried, you wouldn't see anything. And then to protect the steel, we would cast that into concrete. So when someone, presumably leaving Turks in them, hits it, it won't come down.
Presumably, have you reviewed the code with respect to hours of operation for roof decks and lighting?
Yes. The midnight is the is per the code. Typically, as I stated numerous times, by 10 p.m. we're typically light out.
And would any lighting in the outdoor deck area, that would that conform with the code provisions as well?
Yeah, no lighting from our outdoor deck area would reach the property. Okay.
Anything else that you believe needs to be added for the benefit of the board or the public with respect to the submission? Do you want to show maybe perhaps some of the renderings or the...
Oh, yeah.
So, this is a view from the east, looking at his existing casino. There's the chair. Our existing entry is right here. The existing fire exit, you can just see it here. Okay? And so you can see the upper truss, and then you see the tenant coming down right next to the outside of the Excalibur room. As I stated, we're going to fill this lower section with concrete so that in the case someone hits it, it's not going to be a risk. Will not obstruct any of the short casino windows on that side. And you know, one of the other reasons that I wanted to bring this section forward, not only for aesthetics, but also, you know, you barely see it. You can see, you can just barely see the railing from this vantage point. So it's nice to be able to see what's up there and see what's happening. Makes the building more interesting. Right now, it looks like a warehouse. So I think this would be a nice enhancement to the overall aesthetics of the building, also be an interesting component in the harbor.
And are you, there's also an, is there an existing flagpole on the roof right now?
There is an existing flagpole on the roof right now. And that flagpole is presently right in front of the center of the club, which is off to the right here. You may be familiar, there's a smokestack over here on the club. If you look at the photos that I put in the booklet, you can see that. There's a flagpole right in front of that. Okay, in order to get to that, we've got to climb up on that 4 foot higher roof of the ballroom and go over and grace the tenants, etc. This is going to be more visible, also more accessible. So our flag manager can go out, raise the flags and colors, etc.
And would
and this is view from the roof, obviously.
And would these proposed improvements in any way trigger any sign variances or other requirements with respect to signage?
No, we're not asking for any signs. Our proposal is to put small printed verges onto a solid panel in the railing. Originally, we were going to make these like canvas, place up kind of closures. And then we thought about the maintenance, the line, the canvas, the fading. So we're going to make these will be solid panels, okay? There'll be a gap around them. They'll be, clipped into an aluminum rail system. And then they'll, like every other one or every third one, will just have a printed verge on it just so people know what they're looking at.
And do you believe that these improvements would in any way affect the way in which the club handles the disposal of garbage and recycling as it currently does?
No, currently we use the dumpsters outside, which are near the main drive, and I don't see any substantial increase in usage or refuse of any sort. Okay.
Anything further you want to add to your principal testimony?
Well, I appreciate the board hearing us. We've been talking about having a deck for 30 years. At one point, some of the club members put those, used to be able to buy those 4 foot by 4 foot width things. They put them out there, and that had some negative results with wearing the roof, and it wasn't really designed for that. They didn't understand. So if I get involved, I thought deck is a great idea, because as yachtsmen, sailors, we love the outdoors, which is why we do it, and to be able to be outdoors here, I think it would be a fabulous benefit. I think that it would really enhance not only the enjoyment of club members, but also visually enhance the harbor and the experience of people coming to Atlantic Islands Harbor. And
is it's correct to say that all these improvements would be paid for by the club?
Yes, the club would pay the bill to build the whole thing. And to recoup it over a period of time. So, any questions?
And then we'll open Chairman to questions for the board or the public.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Questions from the board? Yeah.
On your, I understand it's going to be a free floating truss supported structure. Where is the structural support going on the south
west corner toward the existing front. Is that going to the barren wall, or are you going right down through the building?
So you're talking about this corner right here?
Yeah.
Okay. So this truss and this truss, the columns, go down into the foyer down below. In order to span from this distance, even over here, because I have nothing here, and I cannot rely on this. Okay, I looked at the structure down below.
We went through this the last time when we were talking about the 4x4 squares, and the engineer came in. Substantial structural support had to be done in the galleon room.
Yeah, I looked up. It's big steel going, and then 2x12s at max span. So the 35-pound roof load, you are gone. Okay, nothing. Mm-hmm. So the way we intend to support this, and this, and this area, is we're going to full penetration well. Steel. So what happens when you do a full penetration well, which has to be ultrasonically x-rayed and all that to make sure it becomes part of that member. Okay. So we would have a cantilever steel coming from here and here and all the way over here also. So that's the way we intend to do that. Now it would affix to the wall here, okay, but it would not impart any load to that wall. In fact, it might hold the wall. No.
Now, what about the environmental load impact on that? And if you attach that right to the existing building, how is that going to affect that?
The sway you're talking about.
Yeah, the environmental load, yeah.
So, we are going to, the structure itself is going to be a shear diaphragm, okay? But of course, it's at an upper level. So, we're going to use we're going to have moment connections, and we're going to get some cantilever out of the brain here. And then also, we intend to tie into the shear diaphragm of the existing roof, which is all plywood and a massive shear diaphragm. So it would be, that's up to our engineer, but that's a generalized plan right now.
Is your engineer here?
No. He just did a job for me in New York City. We had 1,400 square foot of mezzanine in an apartment and hung it from a steel above and notched the beam 6 inches. So I think he can handle this.
And Mr. Stone, any obviously all applicable building and safety codes would be met at the time of permitting?
Absolutely, yeah. Obviously all this has to be submitted, reviewed, approved. So any life safety codes, number one, it's all about life safety. We have to get people up there and enjoy it. But if there's a problem, they need to be able to get out alive. Okay, that's number one.
I have a question to that specifically. It says that there's a fire prevention variance required or a waiver required. What is that for?
Are you referring to my item number
6? Yes, sir. The following submission waivers appear necessary. One of them was the fire prevention. There's a number of them, but the fire prevention one is the one that caught my attention.
All that language is one comment or one condition for the top deck, where in summary, it's prohibiting equipment or furnishings within certain distance to the edge of the roof. That's what we talked about a little earlier.
Okay.
15-foot setback for furnishing equipment when you're fronting on a right-of-way or public street. I'm glad you brought it up. I did send this issue in our report last year. I pulled the tax map, and I agree with the exhibit where this property is a specific block, and the right-of-way actually stops back further. So the second prong with that language you're referring to is a 5-foot setback for all other areas, which would make most of the furnishings and railings compliant, with the exception of that eastern component.
Yeah.
But if you continue reading in that one condition for rooftop decks, it says, by all means, any fire or apparatus or anything required by code could be 0 to 5 or 0 to 15. That's obviously permitted.
Okay, and so just to add to that, and then you can maybe assist me with this, and I might have missed it, but what's the max occupancy on the roof deck? What's the intended max occupancy?
We can start counting chairs.
Okay, with the we intended to have 15 tables for six, that'd be 90 people.
So 90 people.
Okay, and if we added in, you know, if we went according to what, you know, parking says, we have like 114. So I would say, that, you know, realistic terms, you've got like occupancy about 125 people out there.
Okay, and so just for my education.
Once again, we need to meet with the code.
Yeah, that would be one of my questions, as long as I miss the fire code. But, and I didn't see this on here, maybe I'm just missing it, but are there like live and dead load calculations that support the stability? That
there will
you,
be.
Okay, oh, so, yeah, that, absolutely. So that is to follow. So we're not.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what, just so I understand, what are we approving? Just the idea?
The zoning.
So we're at the land use board here, we're reviewing the application first. Chapter 150, basically, should it meet the land use code sections of 150.
Okay.
Then the application could advance to the construction department where detailed structural analysis and plans would be reviewed.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. So, is the intention to leave this structure up year round?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and it's, yeah. What materials?
So this roof would be a metal, stainless steel metal roof.
Okay.
Okay. All of the superstructure is steel, so they galvanized and then painted.
Okay.
Given that it's a hostile environment.
That's where my, yeah, I mean, I'm not a sailor, but certainly wind resistance and, you know, just the harsh conditions.
The engineering, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, and then just generally, what would be the impacts, the construction impacts on the operations of the shore casino while this is under construction? Like, when you're talking about
Yeah.
The galleon room, et cetera. So what?
So, get a flip chart. So, the footings on the outside would have no disruption whatsoever to Shore Casino or anything inside. Just be completely outside. We'd walk up the foundation. Would go partially under, but it would be a cantilever footing going mostly out. So we would have to dig up about 6 foot of this driveway out here while we're excavating this. Probably be exposed for about a week, something like that. We could put a plate down, something like that, or we could use high early strength concrete. We get it done in 3 days, maybe. But, you know, it's going to be, we have to open the road, then we'll have to repair the road and the curb in that spot. But it would not project into the Shore Casino at that point. Over here in the entry hall ranges from, let's say the average width of the entry hall is 7.5 feet. There's a double entry door that's in the foreground here you don't see, and it's a little over a foot off the right hand wall here. So the steel wind at the hinge, steel thing would be either tight to the wall or part in through the wall. Once again, we're going to cantilever the footing into the foyer space. The one footing is packed by our door. That space is not used by the Shore Casino at all. The other footing is up to the front door. That space is used by the Shore Casino. So we have to coordinate with the Shore Casino for that one footing. So it would be the northwest footing. When that goes in, we have to coordinate that carefully with them so that we cut it, dig it, pour it, make it happen.
Now on the east side of that, we're going to put those two fittings. That's the addition that they put on the casino a few years back.
Like you said,
kind of footings are there for that?
I have no idea. I'm not going to rely on anything there. We're going to go underneath. We're going to support the footing that's there. The footings that are planned are approximately 5 foot square. Roughly, we need, roughly a 5 foot square to handle the load. And that may change. We may make them longer, or, you know, just different shapes. Whatever works best, so we disrupt, create the least disruption to existing.
Yeah, everybody's footing is going to be.
The footing on the outside here is at least 3 feet deep. On the inside here, I show this down 3 feet. I don't know if we're going to have to do that. We'll have to see. It all depends on our moment connections and what we need to
Has anybody done any soil samples or any borings or anything there to see what the stability is?
We have done no borings or anything, but yeah, we could certainly do that to read. And so we have a project.
We have to get through the zoning first.
And I just want to confirm up on the roof deck that the fence that you signaled to go in, that, you know, it does say sound absorbing 8-foot tall barrier, but just confirming that it won't just be a flat surface sort of, you know, opaque fence. It will be an acoustic absorption panels or materials or something like that.
They make a perforated aluminum acoustic absorbing fence, so it has to be strong. Has to be able to be outside. Has a number of different requirements. So that would be my objective, would be utilize something like that. I have used blankets in the past, not attractive, okay? We put them on the backside of fences and done things like that. But there are products that are can be utilized outside. If necessary, we could take the blanket and sandwich it between two fences like that, if that were necessary. But the idea would be perforated acoustic, acoustically transparent aluminum. It would be not corrugated, but let's say, you know, would have a profile to it, so it's strong. And then on the other side of that would be an acoustic absorbing material.
Okay. Thank you.
What's the difference in height from the existing roof line to the new roof?
Are there a set hours of operation for the yacht club?
I'm sorry?
Is there a set hour of operation? You open at a certain time, it closes at a certain time?
Yeah, right now we open Wednesday at about 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. roughly. And then, so let's not be in court. And then we typically close up about 10. Okay, the rule of the club is the club closes when the last member leaves. The last member usually leaves at about 10.
Okay.
Other days, we typically open at about the same time, roughly 4 o'clock, and then same thing, close about 10.
So essentially it's for dinner.
Is there a proposed actual time for this outdoor space to be closed at? Not typically 10?
Not at the moment. I mean, you've got 200 and some members. I mean, it's not like, you know, we don't pack the place up. It's not a on-the-deck kind of environment.
Can you talk a little bit about the maintenance of the existing roof? Like how this is floating just inches above. Mm-hmm. If there is a need to do any kind of repair to the existing roof, how does that work?
Why did you ask? Okay, so the existing roof exists in this area. We're not touching anything over here, the ballroom or middle room, as they call it. And then over here, this is all going to be existing. So we're going to select a spot somewhere. We'll probably go all the way over here. We're going to replace the entire roof that's not under our deck. Okay, what's under our deck is going to stay there because we'll never see water again. Okay, our deck is going to be waterproof. Okay, and it's going to have a slight pitch to it, so it will rain to the existing roof. And then, you know, we're going to buy this roof anyway. If there's a problem, we're going to get the call. So we're going to warranty with it. We'll have it installed by professionals. And as I said, the construction specialist makes the bellows like flashing. So any movement of our deck that doesn't jive with anything of the existing roof can be absorbed and will not harm any of the flashing connection. So that waterproof connection is at the outline of the deck. Okay, so anything under the deck, going to have to go there.
So Mr. Stone, effectively the deck is becoming the new section of roof.
The new roof.
Okay, right. That's really what I was getting at. Thank
you. The roof over the deck, kind of the new roof. The deck itself is going to see some water, but not much.
Right, okay? I got you.
And off of that pitched roof, we're going to have drains. It's going to drain to the center. And then out, and we're going to pipe that right along the roof edge and into the gutter.
All right, can you also talk a little bit about lighting and illumination at night?
We haven't completely vetted that yet, but the plan would be some uplights on the columns on the inside to illuminate the ceiling inside, so there'd be no downward facing light. And then we have probably electric, you know, candles on the cable sets.
Okay.
And then for the emergency egress here, we have low lighting along the wall, and then we have some sort of lighting built, probably built into the handrail, so in the event of the emergency, you can find your way out.
So the uplights you mentioned will be essentially covered by the roof structure, right? The ceiling of it, or?
Yeah, if we look at this, you can see the, so the deck is waterproof. Okay, all on here, all on this edge, we're going to have the bellows flashing so that it will allow any movement. We're going to replace the roof so that, you know, anyway, might as well make it, you know, right now it's probably near its end. So we'll replace it, and then where these drain down, there'll be a gutter here. There'll be a gutter in here that comes down, a pipe will come down, and pipe it attached to our deck, but it'll pipe it out to the gutter that exists out of that edge.
To that asking about the lighting, your question was about the lighting,
yeah,
correct?
The lighting is essentially covered by the roof structure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I said the lighting would be on the inside. That's right. So we have a light like there and there, and it would light up. Okay.
Thank you.
So that would give us the soft wallet so you don't trip over things?
Yeah, without.
And that would also,
without glare coming down.
So there'll be no spillover.
Perfect.
No spillover of light into the
That's
parking
right.
lot. Okay. Now, you mentioned about securing tables, chairs, and what have you, with the understanding that you haven't looked into what kind of tables and chairs are going to be. Has there been any thought given to how you're going to store the tables and the chairs and anything else that you need outside?
Typically, it'd be on the deck.
Yeah.
Okay. The chairs, as I proposed, at night we proposed we move all the chairs to the club wall.
Okay.
To keep them, you know, out of freeze. In particular, if there's going to be a storm.
Right.
Everything needs to be secure.
Right.
Okay. I remember I got home, like, oh my God, we have a trampoline. Oh, jeez. So anyway, in a bad storm, let's say we turn them over. If it's really bad, everything comes inside.
Goes inside.
Okay. We have enough room to put everything inside. In fact, during COVID, we stacked the tables, stored them all in that container. We're pretty good at moving stuff. And so that would be the plan.
Any other questions from the board?
I just have one. So, Mr. Stone, would the space be used only for members, or would there be events?
Yeah, our agreement with the family, our lease, states that our club is for use by members and member guests.
Okay.
Okay.
But events are not permitted?
Pardon me?
Events are not permitted?
Events are not permitted unless they're a member.
Okay.
So we don't host,
They're not competing with the short casino, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Not a public banquet.
So
yeah.
If you remember and your daughter got married, you could have it there. In fact, I had a wedding reception there.
Nice. Thank you.
Doug, do you have anything?
Most of my points have been hit already, Mr. Chairman. Let me just go through my list very quickly. It's not generally open to the public.
That's
so
right.
We just discussed the members. You need to be an active or a current member or future member in order to utilize it. I've seen two variances at this point or inconsistencies with the rooftop deck code. We talked about relief being needed for equipment or structures within 5 feet of the edge of the roof on
right.
the side. And then it appears that the deck itself exceeds the 50% max allowable of the...
We're at 8.7%.
8.7%.
Yeah.
8.7%. What is the area of the deck?
30,000 square feet, something like that.
The roof, you mean?
The whole roof. The roof deck is it?
The roof deck itself that
is 1,872 square feet.
Right.
And the existing roof is like 30,000 square feet.
I'm missing a zero on this exhibit.
Because in my type of stuff.
You mentioned on the east side.
Yes.
Kind of giving ways to mitigate the potential for items falling down, the dropping the ring, dropping the plate.
As I stated, our plan is to have a vinyl roll down wind brace on that side. Okay. We could discuss it. Have a couple options. It could be a fixed clear vinyl roll down, or crisp glass, or we could move it back to pipe sheet. Those are the choices. At this point, it's hard to choose.
The design appears to be very symmetrical.
Yeah.
So a mitigation measure would be my recommendation, and obviously I'll leave it up to the board rather than eating up the square footage. That's it. Everything else was
touched upon. Now, Doug, we don't require at this point of the application any soil samples showing that what's underneath there that can support what is being proposed?
No, just like a house or any other building, signed, sealed drawings will need to be submitted in support of the building permit application. To bifurcate that level of design at this point. If, in general, you could see if we're on steep slope applications, if there's concerns about constructability and impacts to adjacent structures or right away, like we could ask for it at that point, but I'm not, I think this is.
Right. This is the unique situation. You know, so I just wanted to make sure that the public understands, you know, exactly where we're at. So
has to get a look before a shovel goes.
For sure, yeah.
I want to know.
Just to confirm, too, the map side of the building is 31 feet.
That's right.
Okay.
Are there any other questions from the board? Are there any questions from the public at this point, sir?
By the way, we have 10:30-ish.
Sir, would you just provide the board with your name and address, please?
So you were standing in front of the board when you were describing, and I missed some of it. It's okay, you can keep it there as long as you don't stand in front of it. Other people should see it as well. Okay. What is the current footprint of the building?
The current footprint is substantial. I have off the paper over here, off the paper over here, and off the paper back here. It's 30,000 square foot. This is 1,800, almost 1,900 square feet.
Okay. You showed the elevation. That's on the north side. The elevation.
You mean the, Now this is looking from the state. This is looking from the north toward the south. So you're standing in front of the short casino here, okay, basically at roof level, and you're seeing, so the casino's down here.
You're not showing the elevation.
That's right. I showed just the second floor here, and then this is a what we call a first section. Casino is down here. That's the Galleon Road, that's the entry hall that goes up to our bus. And this is the middle room, the ballroom, and the ballroom is over here.
Do you have elevations on the other side?
No. For this particular presentation, this is what that end is going to look like. Okay, the column coming down. The stated is on this point, we're going to infill between these two columns of concrete in case someone runs into there. But it's only up to maybe 3-4 foot.
So this is built on the north side, would that any?
No, I don't think that.
No.
Or the outside?
Like, we're really so far from the edge of the roof that this point, which is it? You see this observing calendar? That's 80 feet from the back of the building. So anything you're going to see elevation, that you're going to see a bunch of EDA equipment, you're going to see the back of the yacht club, and three feet.
Now, how high up are those?
That's 8 foot high.
8 foot high?
This, and then this
is block noise to the building?
You're probably going to see somewhat into the space because there's like a foot or so above this to the lowest part of the roof, and then the roof goes up and down. So you're going to see.
Not a comment, part of the question. From my house, the patio, I can see, hardly see the roof here. But from the upper levels, I see down. So I'm going to see over that.
That's right.
Over that fence. Do you think that's enough to block noise for me? The 8 foot fence.
Well, I don't have so much structure. Okay. So, as I stated before,
well, it's well, not how much, it's how much noise you expect to be.
I expect to measure off the cellar and measure the deck. I expect a conversation. That's what I expect.
You were mentioning entertainment before.
I did. And where we expect to, let's say, military. So, as I stated earlier, we increased it. Originally, the deck was going to be that big. Originally, we were like that. Okay. We had concern voiced about noise. And we thought about it, said, well, the way that deck was, and Chris informed the deck, where would you put a band? You'd either put a band there, or you put a band there. And so, well, if we have a band, or usually we have like that's their typical entertainment. So it's not like we're, you know, having wild things. So I added this part so that if we had entertainment, we put it right there, right up against the building. Okay.
What is this building?
This is the short casino right here. I mean, that's the yacht club right here.
Yeah, well,
that's
the second floor.
Second floor, absolutely. Yes. So that I tried to address that noise component by having this as a dedicated space where if there are entertainers out there, they'd be right there.
So brings me back to my question. Do you think that's enough to block all the noise? So
it's not all that noise. It's going to block a substantial amount of it. I can't say this is going to block all the noise because nothing will block all of the noise. Okay, if the wind's blowing from the north, you're going to get some residual noise because wind carries noise. Okay, if the wind's blowing from the south, you probably won't hear a darn thing. Okay,
you won't get wind from the south because there's a hill. Predominant winds are from the west.
Nope.
Your flag that you mentioned is always going west to east.
Yeah, okay.
It's always blowing that way.
Yeah, yes.
You said off the deck, do they have band outside?
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, so midnight.
No, that's not true.
That's not true? I thought it was.
They're not allowed here.
I thought that
because we get here, we understand.
Okay. Like all the time.
I hear it.
It seems like a lot of this stuff has gone over already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In respect to everybody else's time, I wonder if there's anything that could be done.
Yeah, let me also ask you, Mr. Stone, do you have any other...
I have more questions, but...
Just a moment.
If I may, just ask one more question if we're going to...
Well, what I'd like to determine, we'd obviously like to get through this tonight, but what I want to determine is, do we have any more presentations from the applicant?
No, we don't have any further presentations, but we're
so
happy to answer whatever questions.
We can end it now and come back, or we can just try and get through this this question and comment that comes back to us, and we can wrap this up tonight.
No, I'm going to ask us the last question, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah. This isn't my last question, but the one more question I'd like to ask today. I know you're not happy with that.
Just ask the question.
Ask the question. You're taking up time.
You said there's going to be a fence in the back, right?
There's going to be a sound barrier right here.
Sound barrier. And the emergency exit is on that side. How are they going to get through?
There's a gate right here.
There's going to be a gate closed, high.
Exactly. 10 miles.
At the emergency exit?
Yes.
That would be my last
thank you. Are there any other questions from the public?
Yeah, I have a ton of questions.
All right, just a moment before we continue. Like, I think this is the point now where we need to decide if we're going to continue this next month or if we're going to try and wrap this up tonight.
I think
Mr. Kakma, would you say?
I think
is there anybody that can't stay for another, say, 30 minutes?
Oh, good.
I have no problem.
And that includes everybody. We good? All right, we're okay to continue. We'll try and wrap this up in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
All right, very good. Ma'am, please.
Hi, Jennifer Marston, 30 Ocean Boulevard, right behind the house. We pulled the plate up, you pulled them up because I missed some of what you were showing, Jennifer. But I was also wanting to see the barrier, the sound barrier, and understanding that better. The going to be on the left side of the building, like the south side of the building, right?
I think we just want to point the easels out to the public.
Yeah.
We also have these big TVs that you can use next time, you know? Good size.
Yeah, that was my first question. My second question has to deal with the safety of the furniture in the deck. I know there's been for a little time, but I was wondering if you had considered maybe putting some sort of perforation into metal trusses, I guess we're called metal structures, in order to be able to bunch them. I can tell you from a lot of experience that the wind is ferocious and that it's very likely that something will fall off my deck and very likely that it's going to be after me. So I'm going to say that the definition is going to be used to the person. You think you're bringing in the moment, whether it's great, whatever it is, the chances are that you're wrong. And it's different from, like, I lived on one side of the street and I lived on the other side of the street. And if you live on across the street, the wind is very calm compared to the side of the street.
No, I understand. Good.
And I know we're all there, so we know if you actually live there and experience it at night. I think that's why I have.
Thank you.
can't really, no, I can't say. Are there any other questions from the public? Joe, you want to go? Are we talking like an hour's worth, or are we talking like half hour's worth?
Chair, the public would like to adjourn for tonight.
I know, but
Chair, the public has some serious questions to ask, and it's getting very late. I had a very long day. I was out in the seat all day. He would like to answer. He doesn't feel like he's up to it answering the questions tonight. It's getting late.
Hey, who?
Chair, the public would appreciate if we continue the meeting.
My feeling is that if we do try and forge ahead with this, if I can't put a time on it, if I can't put an end on it, I think we should adjourn now and resume next month. Is there any objections to that?
No.
Ted, just to let the record reflect that my witness is more than willing to stay and answer any questions, that he's not tired as the member of the public had represented.
So I'll make an announcement.
So for members of the public, this application is going to be carried to the May meeting. What's the May meeting date? Nancy, do we have that?
It should be May 4th.
May 4th. So carried to May 4th, 2023 at 7 p.m. in this same room. This is the only notice you will receive. There's not going to be a further mailing or publication in the newspaper. If you're interested in this application, be back in this room at that date and time, where it will be continued.
Do we need a vote for that?
Thank you, everybody.
Do we need to make a motion to adjourn?
We do need to make a motion.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Wait, second. Do we need a motion to carry?
All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
I motion to adjourn. Brian Baum's motion seconded.
Sorry, Brian. I would have stayed up for you.
Me too.
Many of us would have.
I know.
Thank you.